are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
I don't even know where to start. Folks, if you're sensitive to insanity, turn the radio off right now. That's the only, what's the word I'm looking for? That's the only disclaimer or warning slash whatever that you're going to get throughout this show. If you're sensitive to insanity, turn the radio off right now. Just walk away. I don't even know where to start. But here we go. You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. If you're a NASA groupie, I would sure love to see you today. Yep, you're one of my favorites today. Come on, get on over here. SpaceX groupie, get over here, please. Come over here. Doggone it. Anyway, like I said, it's going to get rowdy up in here. The gloves have come off. I've thrown the gauntlet down. I'm putting a call out to every single one of those scientists on this planet. The gloves are off. The gauntlet's been thrown down. Which one of you science guys out there or gals going to pick up that gauntlet? You know, just like the knights, you know, you throw down the gauntlet, whoever picks it up, the fight's on. And it's on. It's on. Today, old Shaziz is advocating for a book burning. That's it. You heard it. You heard it right here today. I'm advocating that we burn the books. Everything to do with physics and everything to do with science, modern day school books, put them in a pile and let's set them on fire. And get out the marshmallows and we'll have a barbecue and a marshmallow roast and make some s'mores. That's what I'm saying. Put them books on a pile there. We're going to start a fire. So the gauntlet's down and we're waiting for the first brave scientist to pick up the gauntlet and step to the battlefield and let the games begin. So anyway, before I get into the actual subject of the subject, I got to play something from the past. I'm going to play it live here because I didn't have time to try to download the MP3, but I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Oh, the ninth wonder of the universe, the world's only flying elephant.
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen
a dragonfly. I've
seen a house fly. See, I've seen all that too. I've seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I've seen a needle that winked its eye. But I've been done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What'd you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly. I seen a front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie. But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly. I saw a clothes on the raven bug.
And they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
I didn't see that. I only heard.
Be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a big ball man.
I just laughed and I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done seeing about everything.
When I see an elephant fly.
Ba-da-dee-doo.
Oh, my God, you gotta watch this video, folks.
When I see an elephant fly. When I see an elephant fly.
Come on, Dumbo, you can do it! You can do it!
Oh, it's no use, Dumbo. I guess it's just another one of their...
Look! Hot diggity! You're flying! You're flying!
Why, he's flying just like an eagle.
Just go to there, please.
Well, now I've seen everything.
About everything when I see an elephant fly.
When I see an elephant fly.
Uh huh.
I know you could do it.
Yep, we knew you could do it, Dumbo.
Wait till we get to the big town. Boy, them city folks are show in for a surprise.
And how? Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, folks. This world, I'm done. I'm done. These people out there that claim to be scientists, they got to been lost their mind. I've been done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. Well, you've seen it. Jump over there to SpaceX. Posted a video link into the chat room. I don't think this one. This was actually news network or whatever. Sending a live broadcast of a Tesla Roadster out in space. Is got Starman in there, and he's behind the wheel, and he's flying around in space. All right, well, that's pretty cool, I guess. Okay, yeah, I guess. Well, anyway, let's get down to the brass tacks of why it is that I think I'm going insane. Stephen Gibbons was so kind to go out there and find a link to sciencenasa.gov, and basically what goes on in this particular article is talking about the temperatures in space, the temperatures. So let's consider, for example, the International Space Station, the ISS. ISS, that sounds official. It sounds pretty good. Anyway, so without thermal controls, the temperature of the orbiting space station's sun-facing side would soar to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 120 degrees Celsius for those of you on the opposite scale. While thermometers on the dark side would plunge to a minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit, that's minus 150 degrees Celsius for those of you on a different scale, there might be a comfortable spot somewhere in the middle of the station, but searching for it would be much fun. That's what the article says. Fortunately for the crew and all the station hardware, the ISS is designed and built with thermal balance in mind, and equipped with thermal control system that keeps the astronauts in their orbiting home cool and comfortable. Woohoo! Hold on. Let's do this one more time.
Dumbo! The ninth wonder of the universe! The world's only flying elephant!
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Nope, well, but I did now!
Yeah. I seen
the
house fly.
Yeah, I saw a horse fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanuts dance.
Uh-huh.
Rubber band.
Yeah.
I seen
it, brother.
Eyes.
That's what I'm talking about.
I be done seen about
everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
That's what he said. Yeah, he saw it.
I seen a front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie, but I be done seen
about everything when I see an elephant fly. That I do do do. Sing it, brother.
I saw a clothes on the rab and bug, and they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I only heard.
Sociable, I'll take your word.
I'm with you, brother.
I saw a big ball, man.
I just laughed, and I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done seen about
everything when I see an elephant fly.
Bow,
bow, cha-chow, pow.
Doobie-doo.
I just want you to know, if you see this video, that's exactly how I dance. Yeah, me too, brother. I saw it. There's a Tesla Roadster in space, man. Yeah. All right, we're going to skip the last part for a minute. You know, he actually makes it. He flies. I mean, he does it. The Dumbo, I mean, he's got them big ears. They're flapping in the wind, and he's just flying along, and the crows are flying with him, and they're having a good old time. And, boy, I tell you what, bing, shaboing, shabow, woohoo! He's on his way now, all right? All right, well, you know, we got an issue here. All right, all the mainstream scientists right now should be up on their ear. They should be, like, really questioning what just happened here. All right, now I'm going to click over to the live stream of the video of the Starman driving in space thing, and I'm going to look at that while I talk, because I'm just, hey, these are just questions, all right? So for all you NASA groupies out there with the foul mouth heathenism that like to give somebody a rash because they ask a question, you got some answering to do. Science has some splaining to do. Alright? Now, I don't know what all the melting temperatures of certain things are, but I do know that I saw a few videos out there where just in the average sunlight that the people's doggone plastic on their cars was melting and dripping off on the side of the car. Now, see, there's this thing out there in science and around the Earth that is called the... doggone it, what is it? We got a magnetosphere. And we got what we call an ozone layer. Well, that ozone layer has a good useful purpose, and so does the magnetosphere. The ozone layer basically, blocks out certain types of rays from the sun, and if there weren't for that ozone layer. Matter of fact, before I move too far away from the ozone layer, back in the old days, they were talking about hairspray causing a hole in the ozone layer, and that this hole in the ozone layer was getting larger, and that it was going to cause problems, and we were going to have like fires and stuff on the Earth because the sun's rays would be directly hitting us and basically heating everything up. And so there's a lot of doomsday type scenarios out there that say that, the sun... if it wasn't for our ozone layer, and if it wasn't for our magnetosphere and that and such to basically keep those rays at bay, then basically everything around here would be catching on fire. Now, I know each one of you know that when you go outside, especially in today's day and age, it seems like the sun's pretty hot. All right, you stick your arm out the window while you're driving down a road, you'll have a tan on one arm, and the one in the shade ain't going to be tanned. All right, and you could feel that heat just burning on your skin. All right, and if you've ever sat on a car tire in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of summer, you know that tires, rubber, retains a lot of heat. I mean, it absorbs. It's black material. It absorbs heat, and even after the sun goes down, that tire has stored enough heat energy, and if you sit on it, you'll burn your biscuits. Uh-huh. Yep. So basically what we got going on here is a Tesla Roadster out in space moving at several thousands of miles an hour orbiting the Earth right now. And it's supposed to go out towards Mars, and I guess since they missed their window to Mars, they're going to send it to a doggone asteroid belt, something like that. Who knows? All right, but nonetheless, right now it's out there orbiting in space. Alright, and so there's a lot of questions to be answered right now. As you're watching this supposed live stream of the video of the Tesla Roadster going around in space, you have to ask a few questions of the situation. Okay, number one, it's outside of the ozone layer and should be pretty much outside of the magnetosphere, so now it's in direct sunlight. And according to what NASA had claimed is that without the thermosphere, and keep in mind this is also in a vacuum as well. We'll get to that. But without the thermosphere controls, temperatures of the orbiting space station sun-facing side would soar to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. And in the shade would go to 250 degrees minus... That's 121 Celsius plus and 157 Celsius minus for those of you on the other scale. Okay, and so that means that according to science, you have expansion and contraction going on. Heat, cold, heat, cold, heat, cold, heat, cold, heat, cold. And we all know what happens when things heat up and cold. They expand, they contract. And so somebody's got to explain to me something that is not occurring in this particular live stream of Tesla's Roadster going around in space it goes in the shade, then it goes in the sun, and, you know, it heats up, cools down, heats up, cools down, heats up, cools down, and the paint job on this car is pristine. Now, I don't know if they even used, maybe they buffed it down with some wax to make it all shiny for the first, you know, show or whatever. Nonetheless, we're talking about the paint, we're talking about the wax, we're talking about the glass, we're talking about the plastic, any carbon fibers, of course, and not to mention, you know, camera feeds and such, you know. Supposed to be a lot of radiation in space, according to what we've been told. Supposed to be a lot of extreme in space. It's in a vacuum. So that would also ask the question about the tires. Are these tires aired up? Are these tires solid rubber tires? Because it makes a difference. Seriously, if you're in a vacuum of space and these tires are aired up, you know, physics would say that those tires would have to expand, maybe even balloon up to, you know, way past the normal size because they got all that air pressure up inside them tires. All right, so we got to find out that these solid rubber tires are, you know, are they? Do they have any air pressure in them? If so, how much air pressure was in them? These all things make a difference when you're talking about science and physics because these things make a difference. They matter. All right. But anyway, you know, you can see the reflection of the Earth right now as it goes through the shiny, pristine hood of the car. You can see in the paint job that the Earth has a nice reflection. And, of course, you know, if you do this with CGI, that's a pretty good deal. But if this is supposedly a live view, live! All right, come on, folks! How stupid do these people think we are, really? Alright? And I threw down the glove. I threw out the gloves. The gloves are off. We're bare knuckles right now. I threw down the gauntlet. I'm waiting for any scientist out there on this planet. Anybody with a scientific degree, or even if you're a pseudo-scientist and claim to be a scientist, I don't care. Bring me a scientist. The world, bring me a scientist. And you got some explaining to do. First off, somebody Google up Fresnel lens. Alright? We need to look at Fresnel lenses. What is a Fresnel lens? Let me Google it. Because I want to make sure I get it right. Alright? Let's see. Let's click on the home page, and that'll bring us right to Google. And then I'm going to type in Fresnel lens. Fresnel lens. Alright. Alright, Wikipedia. Let's go to Wikipedia, even though I don't like them because they're like biased propagandists / one side. You tell their story or they don't like it. A Fresnel lens is a type of compact lens originally developed by a French physicist, Augustin Jean Fresnel, for lighthouses. The design allows for the construction of a lens of a large aperture of a short focal length without the mass of the volume material that would be required by lens conventional design. A Fresnel lens can be made much thinner and comparable conventional lenses, in some cases taking the form of a flat sheet. A Fresnel lens can capture more oblique light from the light source, thus allowing the light of the lighthouse equipped to be visible over greater distances. Basically, focus that light. And in the alternative energy, they use Fresnel lenses for like starting fires and heating up stuff, you know, solar power. So when the sun shines through it, and for those of you that are out there tormenting bugs when you was a kid, you take a magnifying glass and you basically scorch the bug and, you know, use the lens to do so by focusing the beam of the sun down on the bug. Yeah, that's terrible. Anyway, nonetheless, a Fresnel lens. So you got this Tesla Roadster out there in space that is turning towards the Earth. And then it turns towards the sun. And now you got the windshield, which is a curved windshield, magnifying the heat and the radiation from the sun on Starman. Man, come on. Now, I know that in space, space is supposedly a vacuum, is what we're told. So you have to have, and there's no oxygen out there, so you have to have three things for ignition. You have to have a fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen in order to create a fire. But you don't have to have oxygen in order to melt things. So the temperature, even in the vacuum of space, should be incredible through that windshield. Now, I know that in the summertime, most folks roll their windows down because that heat that is built up, your car will get several hundred degrees Fahrenheit and whatever it is in Celsius in the summer when the sun is beating down on that deal. And that's what an ozone layer and a magnetosphere in between you and the sun. So you can only imagine what that extreme would actually be out in space. So we got supposedly this Tesla Roadster that is floating around space right now, and it's going to be soon on its way to either Mars or an asteroid field. And I'm saying to myself, self, where are all the real scientists of this world? Where are they? Because they obviously ain't watching this live stream. And they obviously ain't watching the SpaceX where the doggone rockets are landing vertically. You got essentially a rocket that, you know, when it's got forward moving thrust, can remain fairly stable. But then now they got them to where they can actually come down and land on the base so that they can actually have reusable rockets. I would like to see anybody besides SpaceX replicate this, for obvious reasons. Anyway, so this car's out in space, and it looks nice. I'm telling you, if I have the opportunity to buy me a Tesla Roadster, I'm going to buy me a Tesla Roadster. Because if it can handle the extremes of what science says that space is all about, then that's the car for me. Because, you know, I don't like a rusty old car, and I don't like my paint job to be, you know, all messed up. That right now, according to science and physics, that paint should be peeling. The plastic should be dripping all over the place. And I'm sure the helmet itself is probably carbon fiber. And the visor itself, if it was built like a regular, would be like some sort of Lexan or plexiglass style material. But nonetheless, for this car, and it's been quite some time, it said it was started streaming on February 7th. Today is February. Yeah, the 10th. So a couple days ago anyway. Nonetheless, in that kind of extreme temperatures, one would expect some serious changes in short order. Because you don't have the magnetosphere, at least the majority of it, as you would be as if you was on the ground. Maybe the magnetosphere expands out into space to the distance of where the vehicle is, so I might give them that much. But I need to click on this video that Steven posted in there and see what it is. But you don't have a magnetosphere. It's somebody dancing. Alright, you don't have the magnetosphere, and you don't have the ozone layer, and the protection of whatever else atmosphere is going on out there. And so, you know how hot it gets right now. Steven says, all the scientists are filling out application forms for funding, Shaziz. They ain't got the time for science. You have gone crazy, bro. That's right. They're trying to get their next grant. And I'm sorry, but I got to do it again. All right? It has to be done.
Faster, get a flying speed. Retract your landing gear.
No, that ain't where I want to start.
The ninth wonder of the universe. The world's only flying elephant.
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I seen a horse fly.
And I seen a dragon fly. I seen the house fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanut stand. I heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seeing about everything.
When I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said, when I see an elephant fly. I seen a front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie. But I be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
But I got doo-doo-doo-doo.
I saw a clown grab and bust.
And they tell me that a man made a fence.
I didn't see that. I only heard.
Just be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a big ball, man.
I just laughed and I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done seeing about everything when I see a elephant fly.
Oh my gosh.
When I see an elephant fly.
Alright, so there it is. It's up there in space. Where's all the NASA groupies, man? I say they got their head in the sand. They're hiding out like ostriches with their head in the sand, you know. Never mind the fact their whole body's sticking out the other end. At least their head's covered, you know, so they ain't got nothing to worry about. So as I'm sitting here watching this live stream and I'm watching as it's spinning around in circles and it shows the sun coming by and it shows the earth and all these pretty colors and, you know, light refracting and stuff like that, I still ain't seeing what I should be seeing right now according to what science has claimed. See, vacuum of space is supposedly hostile. And if you ain't got the magnetosphere, and if you ain't got the doggone ozone layer to protect you from all those different types of sun rays coming off of the sun, as it was claimed in science, then things get really hot really fast. All right, the longer it sets out there in the sun, the hotter it's going to get. So, you know, there's nothing frosting up on the windshield, which one would expect that the temperature difference is constantly fluctuating. There you go. When I see a Tesla car fly, I've been down seeing about everything. When I see a Tesla car fly, that's a brilliant one, Stephen. Oh my gosh. Where's all the mad science guys, man? Now, I want some of these folks out there who really believe hardcore in NASA and now believe hardcore in doggone SpaceX. Anybody wants to call in the show or join in, you're more than welcome. I could use a breather because this is going to be a long... I don't know. Where are the science people out there? Seriously. And all the people of the mainstream media. And did you listen to the interview with Elon Musk talking to people about, you know, let me see if I can find it, doggone it. Elon Musk interview. If anybody can find it before I do, post that link video in there. And I want to play what he said in the doggone video. Elon Musk. Let me type this dude. Elon. I need that. Doggone it. Alright. This is terrible for live video, but I think it might be. Let me see. Elon Musk interview. Now you got to hear what this says, if I can find it. Alright. Elon Musk in Falcon Heavy post-launch press conference interview. Let's see if this is the same one. Alright, we gotta skip ahead here. They're waiting around. Alright, let's get
to the... Good evening and welcome to the post-launch news conference for the SpaceX Falcon Heavy test flight. I'm John Taylor, Director of Communications for SpaceX. Joining us to provide a status on the mission, Elon Musk, SpaceX CEO and lead designer. Elon?
Hi, everyone. So yeah, I'm really excited about today. I'm really proud of the SpaceX team. They've done an incredible job of creating...
That's not the one. Let's go somewhere else here.
Since they're not Block 5 or Version 5, we weren't planning on reusing any of the cores. The upper stations have worked perfectly so far. The two burns were executed correctly. And now we'll see if the upper stage avionics survive quite an arduous trip through the Van Allen belts. Normally, the stage will pass very quickly through the Van Allen belts. Here, it's essentially dwelling there for several hours. And then it's going to do a restart.
All right, he's talking about it going through the Van Allen radiation belt. We've got to talk about that, too.
Ejection. And the propellant levels all look good. The propellant, after the second burn of the upper stage, we were only 0.3 sigma away from predictions, so which is basically very minor. So it has plenty of propellant to complete the transmons injection, assuming that the fuel doesn't freeze and the oxygen doesn't boil off and the electronics don't get fried. So those are the issues. We'll find out in a few hours if that burn is successful. I think if there's anything else I know that's worth mentioning. I went out to the landing zone, took a look at the side boosters. They look in really good condition. So they're both reflyable, although as I said, they're combination of version 3 and version 4. So we're only going to be reflying really version 5 at this point. That launches shortly. And that'll be our mainstay. We'll stick to version 5 for the Falcon architecture. We don't expect to have a version 6. Alright, any questions that I haven't answered? I'll do my best to answer them, but I'm not sure if I have the information yet, but I'll try.
So we're going to start in the room. And the first question goes to David Curley from ABC News.
Elon, spectacular. What did you learn? What did Falcon Heavy teach you?
Told me like crazy things can come true. He'd said like, I didn't really think this would work. When I see the rocket liftoff, I see like 1,000 things that could not work, and it's amazing when they do. And I was really, seeing the two boosters land synchronized really just like the simulation. I mean, it makes me think, like, there really could be quite a scalable approach. You know, you could imagine large numbers of those just coming in, landing, taking off, landing, doing many flights per day. I think it gives me a lot of faith for our next architecture, the sort of the interplanetary spaceship. We have different names for it, but BFR is kind of the code name. And
BFR,
it gives
me
confidence
rocket.
That BFR is really quite workable. I was actually looking at the
I got to pause this for
a second.
It's
pretty big, you know, 16 inch.
I got to pause this for a second. See, you know, I know this guy probably got a lot of money, you know. Maybe he's even a really nice guy, but the look on his face whenever he's doing this interview is if he don't even believe it himself. And I'm hoping to get to the question where they asked him about the car in space. So let me check and see where this thing's at here.
Story's told. 60-foot leg span. But you really, we need to be way bigger than that. So I think it's given me a lot of confidence that we can make the BFR design work.
The dude looks like, dumbfounded.
I have tremendous confidence, obviously, in the SpaceX team. So I think we can really do this a lot.
I agree, man. Elon, I think you can do that a lot. You know, CGI is amazing as all get out. I can say that because that's the deal.
Would have a profound effect on the future. And one of the interesting things about, say, Falcon Heavy versus Falcon 9 is that Falcon Heavy has the same level of expendability as Falcon 9.
All right, let's see. Skip ahead and doggone question with Beck.
Yeah, congratulations, Elon. Great launch today. Where do you see the Falcon Heavy fitting into this launch industry? Is this something that is going to be for more national security? You see this for interplanetary missions? What's the future of Falcon Heavy?
Yeah, the radar receiver of the other. That's just kind of how it happened. It's actually meant to happen just like that.
The next question on the phone comes from Keith Cowing at NASA Watch.
First of all, congratulations. You've launched a rather unconventional payload into space, one that's generated a lot of buzz, and there's a lot of people, some of them citizen scientists, some of them they're just newbies when it comes to tracking things in space, are going to try and track the Tesla and understand what's happening to it. You know, like that movie, Dude, Where's My Car? And other than the live webcam today, what is SpaceX trying to do to interact with this community of Tesla trackers once the car leaves orbit? Do you have a plan, or are you just going to kind of wait and see what bubbles up on the internet and react to it?
We don't have a plan. No plan. The battery is going to last about 12 hours from launch, roughly. After that, it's just going to be out there in deep space for maybe millions or billions of years, who knows. Maybe discovered by some future alien race, thinking, what the heck, what were these guys doing? Did they worship this car? Why do we have a little car in the car?
No. All right. So now possibly a future alien race is going to discover this car. And look, man, come on. I'm about to blow my stack. The people in this world, this doggone stupid. Really? I mean, come on. What if that doggone car smashes into the space station or something? Would that be like classified as the first car accident in space? I'm trying to find the one. There's one section of this interview where the man says, and I quote, that it looks so fake it must be real. All right, but so far I haven't found it. And you know, let's just let him talk some more.
I don't really confuse them. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I think, you know, it's kind of a fun thing, and I sure hope that next burn works, by the way. We'll know in a few hours.
Now we're going to go back to the room, if that's okay. So how about Chris Davenport from the Washington Post? Hey, Chris, you could wait until we got you mic'd.
Thanks. So now that you're focusing more on the BFR, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the timeline. I know you said it's coming along faster, and then what that means for your plans for Mars and the Moon.
Well, I don't want to get too off topic, but I think we might, if we get lucky, we'll be able to do short hopper flights with the spaceship part of BFR, maybe next year.
Yeah, next year, that sounds good.
All right,
that's
one
a good
more
time.
In the room. Let's see, how about Bill Harwood from CBS?
Thanks, Bill Harris. Elon, two really quick ones. You mentioned the drone ship, a couple of thrusters got. Did the thing land on the ship or nearby? No, or?
So, and I had again, I would take like any information I get with regard to this with a bit of a grain of salt, because I'll tell you the information that I have, which that information I have may be incorrect. So, it could be way off. The information I received was that we hit the water at about 300 miles an hour, 500 kilometers, roughly 500 kilometers an hour. So it's hard, and about 100 meters away from the ship. Yeah. So, at which was enough to take out two thrusters and shower the deck with shrapnel.
Well, and you mentioned the burn coming up.
He seems pretty happy about it.
Depletion. I mean, how long a burn are we talking about? And when you hope to have some confirmation to be able to tell us that it did or didn't work?
Thanks. I don't have the number length of the burn offhand. I was just looking at the profound residual sigma, which is like the key number. It's a decently long burn though. Maybe a minute or so. That'll be in a few hours, hopefully. I actually don't have the latest telemetry from, because I was just out of the landing zone, and haven't been back to launch control since going to landing zone, so I don't have the latest information on the status of the upper stage.
Tom Costello from NBC News, please. Right here on the front row, blue jacket.
Well, congratulations again. I want to follow up on Chris's question, because Chris asked you, what's your timeline potentially to go to the moon or Mars? And you said, did you say as soon as next year? Can you quantify that? Doing Chris's work.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Well, by Hopper tests, I mean, kind of like we had the Grasshopper program for Falcon 9, where we just had the rocket take off and land in Texas. At our Texas test site. So that would be, we'll either do that at our South Texas launch site near Brownsville, or do ship to ship. We're not sure yet whether ship to ship or Brownsville, but most likely it's going to happen at our Brownsville location, because we've got a lot of land with nobody around, and so if it blows up, it's cool. But Hopper test, I mean, it'll go up, you know, several miles and then come down. The ship is capable of a single stage orbit if we fully load the tanks. So then we'll do flights of increasing complexity. We want to test the heat shield material. Something like, you know, fly out, turn around, accelerate back real hard, and come in hot to test the heat shield. Because we want to have a highly reusable heat shield that's capable of absorbing the heat from interplanetary entry velocities. So it's really tricky.
The potential to go to Moon or Mars? What's your timeline there?
Yeah, so there are a lot of uncertainties on this program, but it is going to be our focus after we're almost done with Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy. We're going to level off, as I said, at Block 5 of Version 5. So there won't be any more major versions of Falcon 9 or Falcon Heavy. Dragon is also going to level off at Dragon Version 2. There might be like point releases, you know, 5.1.
Ah! Dad, burn it! Alright, I accidentally pushed the wrong button there. And so I got to restart. Doggone, where am I at?
Since they're not Block 5 or Version 5, we're at about 300 miles an hour, 500 kilometers, roughly 500 kilometers. By Hopper tests, I mean kind of like we had the Grasshopper program for Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy. We're going to level off, as I said, at Block 5 or Version 5. So there won't be any more major versions of Falcon 9 or Falcon Heavy. Dragon is also going to level off at Dragon Version 2. There might be like point releases, you know, 5.1 or Dragon 2.1 or something like that. But most of our engineering resources will be dedicated to BFR, and so I think that that will make things go quite quickly. The ship part is by far the hardest, because that's going to come in from superorbital velocities, like Mars transfer velocities, Earth moon transfer velocities. These are way harder than coming in from low Earth orbit. I mean, there's some the heating things that scale to the eighth power, which I didn't think realized there's anything that scales to the eighth power. But it turns out reentry, certain elements of reentry heating scale to the eighth. So just testing that chip out is the real tricky part. The booster, I think, I don't want to get complacent, but I think we understand reusable boosters. Reusable spaceships that can land propulsively, that's harder. So we're starting with the hard part first. I think it's conceivable that we do our first test flight in 3 or 4 years of a full up orbital test flight, including the booster. Oh no, we'd go to low Earth orbit first, but it would be capable of going to the moon shortly thereafter. It's designed to do that.
Elon, we want to be sensitive to your time. How many more questions you want to take? How much time?
A couple, two more questions.
Okay, sure. There is a gentleman who came from our Reddit community that I want to definitely call on, and I don't know your Reddit handle, and I don't want to say your name. So you can introduce yourself with your name or your handle.
Hi, Elon. My name is Martin Avenue, and I'm with Reddit's R SpaceX community. I'd like to congratulate you as well, as so many people have done just now. I'd like to know about Starman's spacesuit. Is it a production model? Is it instrumented and/or pressurized? And what's holding his? What's holding him up?
Well, there's a mannequin inside, so it's just basically stuff. But yeah, that is the actual production design. So the real one looks like just like that. That in fact, that's one of the qualification articles. That's the real deal. I figure if you're gonna go, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous trip. You want to look good.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to want to look good. That you're going to need that.
It took us 3 years to design that spacesuit. It was real hard. It's easy to make a spacesuit that looks good, but doesn't work, or that works but doesn't look good. It's really difficult to make a spacesuit that looks good and works. And you have to make it a multi-part process, and it was surprisingly difficult.
Okay, I'll pause this for a second.
Yeah.
Look. He said the doggone spacesuit suit's got to look good. And so now I'm going to scoot back over there to the live stream and take another second look at this spacesuit that he's got going on there. Sure, it looks good, but going to have some questions. Look, this is why people get so frustrated at me, because I ask questions. I ask the hard questions about everything. This is supposedly a Tesla Roadster that's going on a long journey, and it's out there in the extreme vacuum and the heat and cool of space, and we're getting a live stream, supposedly, of this thing. And, it just doesn't add up to what science says. So let's hear some more here. I'm trying to find the exact spot where he tells the reporter that, it's real because it looks fake.
Dave Musher from Business Insider. Right there.
Hi, Dave Musher from Business Insider. Thank you so much for doing this, by the way. I want to go back to BFR for a second, since you were talking about that. And also Starman, which is such an inspirational thing that's happening. Have you given any thought to what you might do with BFR in that way? What is the payload, and any thoughts to that?
No, I have no idea. Suggestions are welcome. It's a beast, so the BFR 9 meter diameter, 30 feet roughly diameter, which is, you can put a lot in 30 feet diameter. 110, 120 meters long. Yeah. Big. Although, I bet it doesn't look that big after a while. All right, maybe we have a couple more. Yeah, sure, one more. Okay, yeah.
Sure. How about Tim Fernholz from Quartz on the back of the white shirt?
Hi, Elon. Thanks again for doing this. Two questions for you. One just about fairing recovery. Just curious how SpaceX is coming with that. And two, Jeff Bezos just responded to your tweet congratulating you on your launch today. You just mentioned a minute ago that we need a new space race. I'm just curious if you see yourself in a race with Blue Origin.
What was the first part of the question?
Checking in on fairing recovery.
Fairing recovery has proven surprisingly difficult. I'm pretty sure we'll serve fairing recovery in the next 6 months. But it turns out, like, you pop the parachute in the fairing, you've got this giant, awkward thing. It tends to interfere with the airflow on the parachute, and gets all twisty, and obviously it was a low priority too. Also, we have fairing version 2, which is that's the important one that we want to recover. So even if we recovered fairing version 1, that wouldn't be, we wouldn't be reflying in the future. So fairing 2, and recovery, that's very important. My guess is next 6 months we figure out fairing recovery. We've got a special boat to catch the fairing. It's like a catcher's mitt. It's like a giant catcher's mitt in boat form.
Catch
the fairing, actually. It's kind of fun. I think we might be able to do the same thing with Dragon. So unless, if NASA wants us to, we could try to catch Dragon. Literally, it's just meant for the fairing, but it would work with Dragon, too.
In the room, how about James Dean from Florida Today?
Come on, man. Yeah,
thanks so much. You're like James Dean today. Speaking of those dragons, could you give us a status on commercial crew and when we might realistically see an astronaut just getting to low Earth orbit, much less the moon or Mars?
Yeah, we're making great progress on Crew Dragon, or Dragon version 2. That's, actually, in terms of company priorities, obviously, mission assurance is always number one as a priority, but then the priority used to be Falcon 9 Block 5, and then a month ago I said absolute priority is Crew Dragon. So we're pretty much done with Falcon 9 Block 5 or version 5. Pretty much done, almost done with Falcon Heavy. There's a few tweaks that would occur with Falcon Heavy Block 5, but they're minor. And so it's all hands on deck for Crew Dragon. And our goal is to we're aspiring to fly crew to orbit at the end of this year. That's our goal. I think the hardware will be ready.
We have time for one more question in the room.
I was just looking at Falcon 9. It's like, kind of small.
So we're going to have to wrap it. And I'd like for Chris Gephardt, please, to have the last question.
Question in terms of the next Falcon Heavy, which is that Arabsat or the one for the Air Force?
I'm trying to find the one doggone phrase. Let's see if I can find it. Man, this is just frustrating because it was in one of the videos of the interview. Or the lady asked him. I know what I'll do. I'll just look it up differently. All right. It's real because it looks fake. Gotta find it, man. Look, Falcon Heavy is real because it looks so fake. I hope I'm gonna click on this. I hope there ain't no foul mouth heathenism going on.
Not just the public getting excited about the Falcon Heavy. Some customers, like the Planetary Society, are planning on using Falcon Heavy for their next flights, hoping that a successful test launch will spell success for their missions as well.
We are tied to SpaceX. We wish us the best today. So the guy, SpaceX is really visionary, but it really is a fantastic idea. Rockets should be like airplanes, where you don't throw them away, use them, and then reuse them. And so it's visionary. We're very excited about it. And the idea is to democratize space, to lower the cost of getting to many destinations in our solar system. And the reason you do this, everybody, the reason the society does this, there are two questions, Lauren, that we have all asked. Where did we come from? How did we all get here? Where did we come from? And are we alone in the universe? And if you want to answer those two questions, you have to explore space.
Well, I think it looks so ridiculous and impossible. You can tell it's real because it looks so fake, honestly.
There it is!
Well, I think it looks so ridiculous and impossible. You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.
And if you want to answer those two questions, you have to explore space.
Ah.
Well, I think it looks so ridiculous and impossible. You can tell it's real because it looks so fake. Well, I think it looks so ridiculous and impossible. You can tell it's real because it looks so fake, honestly.
Honestly, it looks so ridiculous because you can tell it's real because it looks so fake. That's what the man said.
Oh, the ninth wonder of the universe. The wild's only flying elephant!
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen a dragon fly.
I've seen a house fly.
I've seen all that, too. I've seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I've seen a needle that winked its eye. But I've been done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What'd you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly. I seen a front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie. But I've been done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. I saw a clothes horse, the elephant bug, and they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
Yeah, he made a truck out of vegetables.
I only heard.
Just be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a big ball man.
I just laughed and I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
Oh my gosh. Can't take it anymore.
Get to the big town. Boy, them city folks are showing for a surprise.
Yeah, they are. City folks are really surely in for a surprise, man. Alright, let me read this one last time. Stephen Givens was so kind to post in the chat here. Alright. He said, without thermal controls, the temperature of the orbiting space station sun-facing side would soar to 250 degrees Fahrenheit, 120 degrees Celsius for those of you on a different scale, while thermometers on the dark side would plunge to minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit, which is minus 157 degrees Celsius for those of you on a different scale. There might be a comfortable zone spot somewhere in the middle of the space station, but searching for it would be much fun. You'd either be freezing your booty off or sweating like you know what. Anyway, that came from science, NASA.gov. Now, not only that, if you go over there in the chat room, Stephen also posted some links showing videos of this particular rocket's landing so that they could be reused. Look, people, come on. I have caught a lot of grief for saying that energy was free. All right? And I've argued against the laws of physics, I've argued for the laws of physics, I've argued for nothing but the truth of science, real science, but I'm today advocating a book burning. I have taken off the gloves and bare knuckles, waiting, I've thrown down the gauntlet, I've asked any scientist on this planet to come here and set the record straight, let the games begin. Let's do battle. I mean, I'm advocating a book burning after all. Surely somebody would step up to save those science books. Science and physics and the indoctrination education system of the world that says that this is this and that's that and this is the way it is and you don't question the norm. Look, science said a lot of things. This particular supposed live stream of Starman driving around in the Tesla Roadster out there, not only does it look like a pretty awesome CGI like on one of the PlayStations or modern day game gear things, but it does not agree with the laws of physics. It does not agree with the hostility of what we were told space was. You're not looking at a car that is within the ozone layer that has the protection of said ozone layer. You're not looking at a car which is, at least for the most part, all the way inside the magnetosphere, which is protecting the materials from space. So, any plastic in this car, any glass, any metal, would be heated and cooled down, heated and cooled down, heated and cooled down. And according to science, when you heat something, it expands, and whenever you cool it, it contracts. There should be, right now, at the very least, visible signs, obviously visible signs that it is in the hostility of what we have been described as space. It's getting direct sunlight, and it at some points is actually going through a curved lens, which once again I say Google up Fresnel lens and understand that when you shoot light from the sun or any light source through a curved lens, you can actually get a focal point from the light traveling through that lens that would cause extreme temperatures that should be damaging Starman's suit, should be melting the dash. That car should look literally, quite literally, like you know what. And it doesn't. So where are all the mainstream scientists? As far as I'm concerned, all credibility to NASA, SpaceX, mainstream scientists, all the NASA groupies out there in the world is on the line as we speak. You got some explaining to do. Tell me why it is that this car is still pristine after being out in hostile, and what about micrometeorites? Shouldn't there be some dings in the windshield? I know everybody knows when you're driving down the road and somebody kicks up a little chunk of gravel, and it's not moving nearly as fast as what a micrometeorite would be. And where's all the doggone satellites that should be out there? And so on. There's so many questions. I mean, ridiculously simple questions that have absolutely no answer to. This vehicle is able to float around in the vacuum of space. Once again, I need to remind you that it takes three things to start a fire. It takes a fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen to start a fire. According to what we've been taught, that oxygen is not in space. It's in a vacuum. However, the laws of physics still apply when it comes to light and heat. So there should be drastic temperature differences in this thing. I mean, maybe the window's frosting up because it got hot, then it got cold, then it got hot, then it got cold, crystallizing over and over and over again when it faces the sun one way, and then when it goes in the opposite direction. When it goes around the dark side of the planet, it should come out a frozen block on the other side. There should be something going on, because anybody with any common sense knows that that plastic's got some sort of moisture in it somewhere. Everything in that doggone thing has chemistry from the Earth. There should be some visible signs right now showing that the laws of physics stand true and that basic science applies. But it's not. So, what's going on? Alright, they get subsidies from the government, and subsidies from the government come from the taxpayer, so quite literally you're paying for it, and the NASA the same thing. Now, I said I was going to go insane on this radio show, and I'm flat out literally, quite literally going insane, because the world cannot be this ignorant. It's not possible for people to be this incredibly stupid. How could you buy this? How could you sit there and look at this car floating around in space over and over again, and what you've been told in science, what you've been taught in school, is that it is hot in the sunlight in space because you have no protection of the Earth's magnetosphere or the ozone layer, or any of the other layers for that matter. And you're told about global warming. Really? Come on, folks. Those UV rays bypassing the plastics and the carbon fiber and the metal of that car, not one single little ripple in the paint, not one single little crack in the windshield, no signs of anything melting. Everything's just fine at 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Seriously? Plus or minus? No visible signs of destruction to that vehicle from being in a hostile environment of space? And that's why they told you they put the Mylar reflective material, aluminum foil, basically, on the outside of the ship when they went to the moon to reflect the heat of the sun, because they said the temperatures were drastic in the sun and they're drastic in the shade, and it's instantaneous. But yet in 1969 they were able to walk around on the moon in spacesuits that had amazing battery technology that could have done some amazing things. And so all I did was ask the NASA groupies what kind of batteries did they use back then, and I got called everything under the sun and then some. Alright, you know what my response to them is? Huh? You really want to know? Here's my response to all the NASA groupies and the mainstream scientists out there. The burden of proof lies on you.
Dumbo! The ninth wonder of the universe! The world's only flying elephant!
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen a dragon fly.
I've seen a house fly.
See, I've seen all that, too. I've seen a pin.
peanuts Dan and her rubber band, I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant.
Elon Musk said that it was exactly the same kind of car that is down here on Earth. He said that they did not test any of the materials for the hostility of space, and I'm paraphrasing because those weren't his exact words, and if you listen to him talk on there, you can understand that he doesn't have all the scientific terminology to explain it, and doesn't have all the mumbo-jumbo that basically keeps everybody confused, dazzled, you know, dazed and confused and believing that this guy's brilliant because of the words that are coming out of his mouth. He doesn't have all that. But he said it was the same kind of car, same kind of materials, everything, and it's in space right now, and they never tested them for, you know, melting points or anything like that. That car right now, according to what science said, should look like heck. But it don't. It don't. And if that's a true live stream of that vehicle being out there, and it's on its way, by the time it gets to there, whenever the aliens find it, like he mentioned in there, they ain't even gonna know what the heck it is. It's gonna look like a smashed up blob. Man. I'm finishing the song.
Fly. I seen the front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie, but I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
Me too, and I'm pulling my hair out. As we speak, I'm going to be bald-headed. Next time you see Shaziz, he's going to be bald-headed.
And they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
I didn't see that. I only heard.
Just be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a baseball man.
I just laughed and I thought I'd die.
But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
I love that part. That's how I dance. If you want to see how Shaziz dance, go watch this video. I posted the link in the chat room down there. I'll see you an elephant fly. Woo! That's right. Okay, so look, man. I want anybody who has joined us in the chat room to type in and tell me why it is that I must be insane. I studied science since I was a kid. When 9 years old, I figured out things when I was 9 years old that they're just talking about today. And according to what science taught me back then, there's a whole lot of things that are going on now that's just pure ridiculousness. Ludicrous. The mainstream scientists up here must have sold their soul quite literally to the devil, because if they can say that this is true, something is wrong. And I've seen everything when I see an elephant fly, but you really seen everything when you've seen a Tesla Roadster out in space. Now, hostility is space. You know, think about what's going on there. It's orbiting around the Earth, and we're told that the space station is moving some like 16,000 or more miles an hour as it's flying through space. It's not slamming into any space junk. It's not being bombarded by any meteorites. It's not being affected by the hostile radiation being directly beamed from the sun to the Tesla Roadster in open space. Instead, it's pristine and polished. And everything looks fine, and Starman's having a good time. He's having a lovely day out in space in his new spacesuit. I know that mannequins are usually made out of plexiglass, not plexiglass, fiberglass. And so, inside that suit, that's got to be getting pretty warm. Let's see. Nope, that's not it. Yeah, that's, maybe that is it. Maybe that is it. Look, the financial issue of the situation is that taxpayers and tax breaks that Elon Musk gets for Tesla company and, you know, wanting to sell cars. You want to talk about a publicity stunt? What better publicity stunt could you get to sell more cars than to say you put a car into space that may not even be in space? More than likely is not into space. It's probably sitting in a doggone studio somewhere, being live streamed, and whatever. But the government's spending money, NASA's spending money, everybody's spending money, you're spending money, and I actually had to disable the chat on the live stream so that I couldn't sit there and watch as the morons of the world. Well, I'm gonna show chat just for a second and so I can see some of the things in there. And people are typing in, the earth is flat, and they're typing in fake, and they're typing in, oh, this proves the earth is round, and they're cussing each other out, and they're saying all kinds of filthy things to each other. Not fake, is fake, Gorilla Glass, and so on down the line. These windshields that are in this car, they must be the best of the best. The plastic, the vinyl, the carbon fiber, everything that's in this doggone car has to be the best of the best. I got to shut off the chat, hide the chat again on that doggone live stream of Tesla Starman driving in space after successful heavy Falcon launch, SpaceX real-time updates. And Barbara Three Crow says in there, you know, they do have technology known as holograms that sure seem real. A whole city was floating in the air in China, had put up by hologram. That's the thing, man. I did a video quite some time back when they switched from analog TV to digital TV, and I said, look, folks. Yeah, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, and the video kind of sucked. I mean, it wasn't the greatest video, wasn't greatest quality, and had a one of those mechanical readers on it, but the information in there was good, but it didn't get very many views. And it was a warning to the world, essentially, about, you know, switch from analog to digital TV. You got to be real careful about what you see on TV, because if you're watching this live stream right there, And you didn't have any critical thinking whatsoever. You could swear up and down, oh yeah, we're in space. Look at that. There's the earth and it is round and it's like this or whatever, you know. But no, you apply basic science to it and basic physics and it falls apart. It falls apart. Now, doggone it, I got to roll the windows down in my car during the summertime, and that's, I'm underneath the ozone layer and the magnetosphere and all the other protective layers of the earth, but I got to roll my window down in my car because it gets several hundred degrees Fahrenheit inside that car. Because when the sun is beating through that windshield, it is heating up the metal inside, it's heating up the plastic inside, and things will melt under those temperatures. So the ridiculousness of what we're being shown right here is just mind-blowing to me. Barbara said, it's a Hollywood movie, keep people distracted, and I believe that. I believe it. And I believe it's to sell cars. I believe it's to fool the... this is an insult. A flat-out insult to the intelligence of anybody with a mind that uses critical thinking. This is an insult to my intelligence. And so, you sit there, and it says right there on the dashboard of this car, don't panic. That's what it says, don't panic. And the little placard in there is in perfect, pristine condition. Yeah, it is. And you can still see the reflection. After all this time we've been talking right here, you can still see the reflection of when it rotates around and the Earth is going by. And you would think, quite literally, if this thing was traveling at the speeds at which they say the space station was traveling at, anything that orbits Earth would be traveling at, that this stream, it would make you dizzy because it would be going around so fast. Because this is already spinning. What's causing this thing to spin around as it's just basically winding through space, going around in circles, but it would be going around so incredibly fast at those type of speeds if physics had any kind of reality to them. And you start to see patterns in the video after a while of reflection off of it, and you know, this thing can't be in the same exact spot every single time if it comes around. Gotta be something different. This is hurting my brain. And, you know, I don't understand. How stupid does a person have to believe that this is real? Seriously. And I want to, like, point you out to something. Go back and watch the old video, Heavy Metal. Yeah, this old animated video, Heavy Metal the movie. Ironically enough, that was like an old Corvette, 60s model Corvette, had a spaceman flying in it. And so this is pretty much a replica. These people out there, you know, they say if you tell a lie that's big enough that people will believe it. The lie is so ridiculous. Basic science says this isn't possible. Basic physics says it's not possible. Am I saying we never went to space? How in the heck would I know whether we went to space or not? Seriously. Do I have the budget to ride up there? Do I have the resources to go watch and observe and be a witness to everything that's going on? Can I sit there in NASA's building and see if anybody's pulling any shenanigans? No. I can't. And that's why you got to be several miles away anytime there's a rocket launch. Oh, it's for your safety. You got to stay back. You know, you can't get too close. Find out whether or not this is real or not. And don't take too many pictures. If you do, we need to look at them before you ship them out. Really? Man, folks, if you believe that there is a Tesla Roadster flying around in space, I have a bridge to sell you right now. Yes, I do. This is crazy. This is beyond crazy. This thing's in the vacuum of space and it's being like bombarded by radiation, hardcore radiation from the sun. And somebody could say, well, you know, because it's in the vacuum of space, things act differently. They don't get as hot because it does something to the radiation. Really? Are you serious? Because if the sun is millions of miles away, and it's still able to give you a sunburn on the Earth, and if it's still able to heat up objects, and darker objects get hotter because they absorb more heat, but it's coming through the vacuum of space and still able to burn stuff up on the ground, then why would that Tesla Roadster look so doggone good right now? Because it's in the middle. It's pure ridiculousness is what it is. Barbara said, critical thinking is down the tubes, you know, and that is the plan, of course. She said, life is now a total reality show. The circus of the mind control, and lots of people bought the tickets. Barbara, if you're listening in still, you want to join me on this show because I could use some reinforcements. Just throw a thumbs up out there somewhere so I can add you to the show, because this is nutty. This is beyond nutty. How people could believe that this is really the truth People say there's a lot of truthers out there. And they say they're looking for the truth. Well, the truth of our reality may not be what we're thinking, because, you know, according to what science says, it's time for a book burning. Literally. We need to go to the schools, get all the science books, take them out there, put them in a pile, throw some kerosene or some other flammable material on top of them, and burn these science books, because what they're showing here, live streaming, doesn't match what the book said, so the books have to be wrong. They have to be wrong. How in the Sam Harry heck could this car be in that good a shape even after an hour of being in space? And where's all the doggone satellites? I'm telling you, if this car is that doggone good, if it looks this good tomorrow as it does today, I'm going to the bank and I'm going to finance me one of these cars, and I'm going to be driving around, I'm going to be telling everybody I got the same car that was in outer space. Alright, and I'm going to buy me a copy of the CD, and I'm going to get me the loudest stereo system that I can possibly find, and as I drive down the road, so that everybody can look over and see me, and I get their attention so they can see my wonderful Tesla Roadster, this is what they're going to hear.
Dumbo, the ninth wonder of the universe! The
wild's only flying elephant.
Hello.
Can you hear that?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear that?
I can hear that.
I'll be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. I seen a house fly. I seen a horse fly. But I ain't never seen a Tesla car fly. Anyway.
This has got you going, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's got me on the... I'm on a rampage.
I hear you.
You know...
you know, it's funny because I didn't watch that thing, that shooting off of that car and all that crap, but my daughter told me, because they watched it, because they were at this little school, you know, for the kids, and they were all sitting down watching this, and she was just telling me how there were so many people screaming their heads off and carrying on like this was a football game, you know, it was a huge, huge thing. And then I looked at the picture of this guy in this car, the space, whatever he is, riding around in this car. It was so surreal, and I'm thinking, this is not happening, you know, this just can't be happening. It isn't happening, you know, like my little truth meter went off, you know, like this is, wow, what a manipulation, and here all the people again, like I said, you know, it's just really to distract people. It's the circus, another circus play, and people are buying the tickets,
let
right?
Let me read this to you one more time. This came from NASA. This came from NASA's, Stephen posted this out there. It's talking about the ISS. Without thermal controls, the temperature of the orbiting space station, sun-facing side, would soar to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. 121 degrees Celsius for those on a different scale. While the thermometer on the dark side would plunge to minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit and negative 150 degrees Celsius.
Well, I mean, we know that they're all lying to us about everything by now. I mean, the science and the history and all that you got in school, who knows, right? I mean, now we got to look at it and say, well, were this truth or lies or manipulation? And now we have this other thing. We had the moon landing, which I felt, I don't know, again, I just have to rely on my instincts. I don't want to be a downer, you know, but the there were reasons why we had to get to the moon, you know. I mean, supposedly get to the moon and all that stuff and be the first there. But then that was it, you know. There you go, done.
Yeah. It's like, we haven't been back since.
We haven't been back since. But then you have all these satellites and so on that are taking photographs that we know now that the certain things they saw on the moon by people who are in that system, by the way, who saw these things on the large, I guess, you know, the films that they had laid out, the photographs that they had laid out. They saw all these strange objects there up on the moon, and the next time they went to a conference about this, they were looking for those very things, and well, they were airbrushed out or removed. I don't know, but they were like pretty shocked. So, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, we know. Come on, we know that they are hiding things, lots of things from us.
Well, that's blatantly obvious. I mean, look, these guys said, NASA said, we lost the knowledge and the technology of how to get back to the moon. All right, we lost all the tapes. They all got erased, all this and that.
They said that?
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest accomplishment in mankind's history, and you lost the tapes? Somebody accidentally recorded
it
over them?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. All right,
look, folks, either there's aliens on the moon or there ain't, or we've been to the moon or we haven't, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care whether we did go to the moon or we didn't go to the moon. If you believe that there is a Tesla Roadster flying around at several thousand miles per hour around the Earth, getting ready to go out towards Mars and through the Van Allen radiation belt and out to the asteroid field, then I have so many things to sell you. I even got a unicorn, all right?
I have a condo on the moon to
yeah.
sell you.
Yeah. We're gonna, Barbara, we're going to be rich because if people if people are this stupid, we got to be rich.
Well, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm laughing my head off because, well, you are spot on. You know, I don't know much about the science that you're talking about, but you should be on a panel with Tesla.
Yeah.
With Elon Musk.
Well, at least he's making money.
You should have been sitting there questioning him. You know, that's so funny. I mean, it's kind of pathetic, but, you know, I see it all over. You know, all over everything. You know, it's sort of like the Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah. I got an emergency. Can you hold down the fort for a second?
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, everybody, this is Barbara. She's a brilliant, so...
I'm not a scientist,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, she's got the show.
Well, yeah, I'm here again, and I just was listening and laughing my head off at... Just, you know, Shaziz is so sweet and sincere and passionate about this stuff, and he knows, I feel really, he knows what he's talking about, or maybe I'm being duped, I don't know, because I don't know anything about science, but I'm going to say my truth meter kind of goes up high when he's talking, and his passion is very real, you know, and hey, you know, we've talked about the Wizard of Oz, you know, we're living like in that Wizard of Oz, and there's a monster behind the curtain manipulating everything and giving us false information and leading us on and manipulating our minds, and the circus ride is going round and round, and people are spinning and people are, you know, just following like sheeple, you know, the sheeple going down the rabbit holes and not being able to get out and stuck. And this is amazing to me because here we are now with this big event. I just want to say, like, what on earth is the purpose? What is it fulfilling? You know, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe we can talk about that. What is the goal here of shooting this thing up into space and making this a big Hollywood event? Because that's really, to me, what it's like.
I think it's to sell more cars.
You think it is?
Yeah! It's got... Come on! Best publicity stunt in the world.
It surely is.
Let me explain something to people. They put up what they call weather balloons all the time. Alright? And when a weather balloon goes up there, they start them off and they're really underinflated. Watch a weather balloon go off. They're underinflated. And that's for a reason. Because the higher you get in the altitude, the closer you get towards the vacuum of space... That vacuum of space actually causes that balloon to expand large, all right? And so if you had it fully pressurized and you sent it up into the thinner atmosphere of the Earth, by the time it got up a certain height, it would overpressurize and explode, because if you put a balloon in a vacuum, it's going to expand because it's already pressurized inside. It will expand beyond the stretching point of that balloon and it will pop. So the reason why these balloons come back down is when they get up to a certain height, they expand so far that they literally explode. Alright? So somebody needs to explain to me, are those tires on that Tesla Roadster filled with air, or are they solid rubber tires? Both have implications towards the physics of basic science.
Well, I can't answer that. But, I mean, again, it could be a hologram. We don't even know. Didn't they just recently at the big football game put a hologram up there of Prince that... I know they did it of Michael Jackson years ago.
Yeah, they had Michael Jackson dancing around after he passed away and all that.
Yeah, on stage, and they just had Prince. I suppose I didn't see it, but people told me Prince was there.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm just saying they have this technology that is beyond our comprehension, and they're just giving us little drips and drabs of this. But, well, to sell cars, I don't know. It could be. But here's the thing. You know, we talk about the troubles that people are experiencing here. You know, a lot of it is fear tactics, of course. You
sure.
know, like in Cape Town, they're running out of water. You know.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big. That's false.
Oh, pause there for a second.
Yeah.
Speaking of running out of water. As this live stream's going, I notice that there are very few land masses in the photo of the Earth. So it looks like instead of being 3/4 covered in water, that it's like 80% to 90% covered in water. How's anybody thirsty?
Oh my gosh!
Okay, go ahead, Barbara. Sorry, I interrupted you. I had to.
Okay. I was just talking about I guess what my point is that here you have this guy. Elon Musk, right? He just comes out of the blue and starts doing all this stuff. He's getting funding, you know, basically when you get down to it, it's our money, you know.
Yeah.
He's getting all kinds of tax breaks and government funding and so on and so forth. And this is a big hoo-ha circus, distraction from what's really going on in the world, you know, and all that money, wow, to me could have been put towards something really important and really helpful for the people. And that's how I look at this stuff. It's a playboy greedy show kind of thing, you know. Let me just spend all the money I can just to be on top, to be the star, to be the king, and to just distract all the people when right in your backyard there's people hungry and suffering and homeless and so on. But this is the important thing. That's what I'm talking about. This is the distraction for people. To be able to ignore the reality of what is really going on, what is really significant and important at these times. No, let's just, you know, play spaceman, you know.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because the ridiculousness of it's bad enough. But to spend as much money as these people spend on that, and, you know, of course, Elon, if you listen to him speak, he doesn't sound super highly educated. And basically, he told everybody he don't give a you know what about their degrees from college. You don't need a degree to become rich and famous, apparently. But either way, when you listen to him talk, he don't sound like he has all the terminology that a high-tech individual scientific mind would have. Basically, he's like the front man. He tells people what he wants to accomplish, and they could be fooling him all along and saying, yeah, look, we went to space. We got one of your cars in space. And he's like, okay, that's cool. It looks fake, but yeah, it must be real because if it looks so fake, it has to be real. You know, he said that. Those were his words. And I played it here on the show. And so people look at me, and when I'm telling them about free energy, and they're giving me a rash about free energy and trying to quote the laws of thermodynamics. Well, we're in the Sam Harry heck of the laws of thermodynamics now. Huh?
Well, his net worth is $20.4 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
24 point, I can't even imagine what I could do with a portion of that, but I just, in the middle of the night, his name came to me, Elon Musk, and I thought, that's a very strange name, Elon, come for dinner.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Elon Musk. I was like, what kind of a name is Elon? Well, it's Elon Reeve.
Well, that probably came after that show, Reefer Madness, back in the old days.
Okay, R-E-E-V-E, Elon Reeve Musk.
Yeah.
Elon Reeve Musk. Anyway, Elon Reeve Musk is a South African-born Canadian-American business magnate. He's an inventor. Or investor, rather, engineer and inventor. He's the founder and CEO and lead designer of SpaceX, co-founder, CEO, and product architect of Tesla, and chairman of SolarCity. Oh, yeah. He was educated at Stanford University.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more? Was he? No, that's it.
That's it. He's one of the brilliance. He's a man... All hail Elon Musk! Really?
Interesting. You have... I don't know. I'm just curious about... there's 24 weird things we've learned about Elon Musk. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah, what are they?
Let me see. Other than what we already are talking about, where is it? Elon Musk, 25 things... Okay, he's always been a thinker and a creator. As a child, he daydreamed in an almost trance-like manner. Okay, there you go. He was coded his own video games. Whoa. He also found resourceful ways to make money. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, because I'm listening to some... Hold on. All right, you know, they just took me into some... hold on.
What?
They just keep throwing me these voice things. Okay, let me see. He daydreamed in an almost trance-like manner. Now, right there, that is a something for me, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so he opted for entrepreneurship rather than wait for an internet company to take notice of him. Numerous passions inspired him, and today he manages companies and projects that specialize in electric and self-driving cars. And by the way, I had a dream years ago when I was a kid that someday... cars will be self-driving, you know, that you just sit in your car and put in something or direct where you want to go to, and the car would take off and drive you on its own. And then I also had another dream about flying cars. So I was young then, you know. It's interesting to see this. But he plays video games and brainstorming even more big ideas. 19 surprising facts and anecdotes are coming up here to, I'm going to read them, that paints a picture of the eccentric multidisciplinary engineer. So, number one, his parents thought he might be deaf. When he was a child, he would often gaze into the distance while his parents were speaking to him, which led them to believe that he might be hard of hearing.
He was ignoring them.
What?
He was ignoring him.
He was ignoring him. Yeah, that's typical kids, right, Ma? Dad,
yeah.
Just be quiet. So doctors removed his adenoids, but it didn't make a difference. Okay, it turned out that he was just daydreaming. His mother, May, told biographer Ashley Vance, he goes into his brain, and then you just see he is in another world. So now I just leave him because I know he is designing a new rocket or something, she says. Number two, he was violently bullied as a child. He grew up in South Africa. His classmates bullied him and beat him up badly. And at age 41, he had surgery to fix a deviated septum. During his recovery, he tweeted Tesla ideas while hopped up on painkillers. So he wrote and sold a video game in 1984. It was called Blast Star, and Musk was only 12 years old, and he received $500 when its source code was published in the South African magazine. The objective of the game is to destroy an alien ship filled with weapons of mass destruction. While it's a rudimentary, right? While it's a rudimentary game, don't forget that it was created by a preteen nearly 33 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, he paid his way through college by partying. Woohoo.
Oh, hold on, what did you just say?
I said he paid his way through college by partying.
Oh, I wish I could do that. Man, I need one of them sheepskins, them degrees.
He would throw these house parties and charge a cover fee of $5 to help him pay his rent.
Okay, I guess that's
all right. So they would cover the windows with black trash bags and the walls with bright paint. He would stay sober during these events to keep things under control, as he was never big on drinking. And his mother, she would work the door.
good job, Mom. That's a way to set an example for your child.
Okay, number five, he dropped out. In 1995, Musk enrolled in graduate school at Stanford University to study physics, and within 2 days, he decided that the Internet had far greater promise to change society and left to found Zip2, a company that provided maps and directories to online newspapers. So he dropped out of college. Okay, he's a father of five. Well, that's not so bizarre, but let me see. Twins Griffin and Javier were born in 2004. Triplets Damien, Saxon, and Kai were born in 2006. The couple also had a son named Nevada, born in 2002, and named after the location of the Burning Man, the music and arts festival
where
Sodom and Gomorrah...
This is getting even better.
The Burning Man, the music and arts festival where he was conceived. Oh, he was conceived there. No wonder.
Man.
Wait a second. Hold on. I misread this. Okay. The couple also had a son named Nevada, born in 2002 and named after the location of the Burning Man, the music and arts festival where he was conceived, though he died of sudden infant death syndrome. Oh, that was his child died. Wow.
That's
okay. He's the real life Tony Stark. Okay.
For folks that don't know who Tony Stark is, that's the one in the Iron Man movie.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Musk was the inspiration for Robert Downey Jr.'s character Tony Stark in the Iron Man franchise. Downey received a tour of the SpaceX headquarters from Musk in 2007 and picked up on some of what he has described as accessible eccentricities. When the first Iron Man film was released, director Jon Favreau explained that Musk had inspired Downey's interpretation of this character. So, in 8, he almost went broke. Amid the Great Recession, when was that, and an expensive divorce from his first wife, Wilson, who blogged about her demands on Live Journal, Musk was living off loans from his wealthy friends. He put his last $35 million into Tesla and maintained his stake in the company despite his lack of cash. Tesla went public and today it's valued at more than $33.4 billion, while Musk himself is worth $12.7 billion. Okay, he owns one of James Bond's cars. There you go. In 2013, he spent $866,000 at an auction for the Lotus Esprit submarine car.
Wow.
From the film The Spy Who Loved Me, 1977.
While you're throwing out numbers, Stephen Gibbons posted a question in a chat room. He said, how many schools, libraries, or hospitals, farms, water treatment plants could you build with $4.9 billion, you know, like useful stuff?
Yeah.
And how much did you just say he spent on that car?
$866,000.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah, so let me see. He almost went broke, but they don't give a date on that. But he used $35 million of his last money, okay, to put into Tesla. So the James Bond, The Spy Who Loved Me, to drive his Lotus Esprit off a pier, you press a button and have it transform into a submarine underwater.
Yeah, it's cool. I saw the movie.
And that can actually, what I'm going to do is upgrade it with a Tesla electric powertrain and try to make it transform as for real, he said.
Yeah.
And 10, he once made a guest appearance on The Big Bang Theory. In November 2015, Musk made a cameo on the CBS show in an episode called The Platonic Permutation. The scene, which takes place, is a soup kitchen on Thanksgiving, features Musk washing dishes. He was on the turkey line, but he got demoted for being too generous with the gravy, he said.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's still on the turkey line.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So, let's go to 11. He uses a free analogy to describe how he learns so quickly. Okay, let's see what that is. Musk is knowledgeable about many disciplines, and many people wonder how he is able to educate himself so effectively. During a Reddit AMA in 2015, a user asked about his process, and he explained, "I do kind of feel like my head is full. My context-switching penality is high. And my process isolation is not what it used to be. Frankly, though, I think most people can learn a lot more than they think they can. They sell themselves short without trying. One bit of advice. It is important to view knowledge as sort of a semantic tree. Make sure you understand the fundamental principle, meaning the trunk and the big branches, before you get into the leaves detail, or there is nothing for them to hang on to." And number 12, he has an idea for a fifth mode of transport. Civilization has developed planes, trains, automobiles, and boats, but Musk envisions his conceptual hyperloop high-speed transit tube as a fifth mode. He says it is theoretically the fastest way to travel the California coast. It would never crash, it would be immune to weather, and it would get passengers from Los Angeles to San Francisco in under 30 minutes.
Yeah, and for those that don't know it, there was a toy like that back when we were kids. You remember that?
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, it was a plastic see-through loop, and it was ran by air, and you put the...
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever went to the bank and put money in that tube, and you see it suck up,
yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was back in, way in the late 60s to early 70s, that toy was available.
So his vision is that this looping, hyperloop, high-speed transit tube, as a fifth mode, would be energy efficient, maybe even self-powering with help from solar panels, which would keep costs well below an airline ticket.
Yep.
Yeah. So he proposed nuking Mars. Did you know that?
That's what happened to the Martians. No wonder they're pissed off.
I think, yeah, okay. So on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, the host asked Mucky Mind.
Yeah, it's a bunch of muck right now. Oh, man.
He shared his ideas regarding Mars colonization. And he said eventually you could transform Mars into an Earth-like planet, he said. You could warm it up. When Colbert asked him to elaborate, Musk said, "Well, there's the fast way and the slow way. The fast way is to drop thermonuclear weapons over the poles." And later he clarified that his idea would be to create two suns near Mars via nuclear fusion.
Okay, pause there for a second.
Yep.
First off, his science sucks, because everybody who has ever heard anything about what occurs when you have a thermonuclear explosion is a nuclear winter, which means it will kick all the dust up from Mars, block out the sunlight, and make it colder than it was before.
His plan is to create two suns. So there's the way wrong there. Through a nuclear, via nuclear fusion. Okay.
If you can put a second sun out there, I guess that'd be all right, but then it'd be too close to the sun and catch on fire, so... All right, keep going.
So,
this is
okay,
good stuff.
14, he wants to cover the world with space-based internet. SpaceX filed for permission from the FCC to launch 4,425 satellites that would provide internet coverage around the world. Currently, a little more than 4,000 satellites, active and inactive, combined, orbit our Earth. What do you think about that 4,425 satellite?
Well, okay, hold on a second. Now, right now, they say there's like something, I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's like up in 20,000, somewhere around about another 4,000. And I want everybody to jump over there to the superchat.html, click on the video that says live on it, and watch as this thing rotates around. Where the heck is all the satellites?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
And where's the 4,000 more?
They'd be crashing into each other.
Hey, do they have traffic laws in space?
When they have traffic lights, I don't know.
Well, because according to what I've heard about science, is that the space station is traveling around in many, many, many thousands of miles an hour, and I ain't never seen a speed limit outside of the Autobahn over there in Germany that exceeds, you know, 70 miles an hour. Somebody's
wow.
getting a ticket.
Well, let's see what his secret is to success. He says, number 15, his secret to success is staying clean. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, not doing any dirty deals. What it means is, when he was asked what his secret is to success, he said, what daily habit do you believe has the largest positive impact on your life? And Musk didn't respond with one of the usual suspects, like waking up early, expressing gratitude, and meditating. He said showering.
Well, sure, because, you know, as long as the body don't stink, it doesn't matter whether the science stinks.
So, this man is really very strange. Okay,
well, listen
one
to
more.
Him talk, and watch him as he talks. He looks like he's high.
No, I think he's a walk-in. I think he's an E.T. I did watch him one time, I don't know, last year, and I was thinking, this is not a person. There's something strange. It's almost like he's like an artificial intelligence, you know?
Wouldn't surprise me in the least, because in this day and age, I mean, you could tell me Bigfoot was sitting on my back porch, I'd run out there and check. <You know? laughs>
Well, I, you know, you should, because Bigfoot does exist. And if he's on your porch, you better go out the other door.
As long as he's got good intentions, everything's... I wonder if he plays the drums, because I can play a guitar. We could have a band.
That would be quite a scene.
All right, go ahead. And this is too good, I'm telling you.
Okay, so he bought $70 million worth of Bel Air mansions.
Wow.
One Bel Air mansion wasn't enough for the Tesla co-founder. He now owns 5 mansions in the lavish Southern California neighborhood worth a total of more than $70
million. Wow.
Of course, listen, they're all eco-friendly.
Really?
Yeah, and an aerial image of Musk's main home shows massive solar panels on one side of the property. And over the years, he has amassed properties in the neighborhood. In 2012, he purchased one home for $17 million, and in 2013, he bought a neighboring home, also next door to the late Gene Wilder, for nearly $7 million, which he turned into a private school for his 6 children.
Oh, since for people that don't know Gene Wilder, he played in the movie Young Frankenstein. All right? Mad Science.
Right.
All right,
he
sorry.
Did.
Go ahead.
No, that's a good point. Okay, since then, Musk purchased 3 additional Bel Air mansions. Okay, he believes he believes artificial intelligence is humanity's biggest existential threat. Because he is
too.
One himself.
I believe that too.
So he knows how serious this is. He's
doggone it, I need to go hang out with Elon Musk because he's throwing cash every direction, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
He might like your little garage set up there.
Yeah, maybe he'll fix me up a lab and everything and I can get some real science done.
Well, he said he's incredibly leery of artificial intelligence, and this is one thing that caught my attention about him, actually. In fact, he fears that artificial intelligence could become more powerful than people and perhaps cause human extinction if it grows too smart. So, in an interview with Vanity Fair, he explained that it's technically not a robot that would become too powerful, but a computer algorithm. Right?
All right, pause there for a second.
Yeah, okay.
All right, look. what's going on here is if people are actually believing that there's a Tesla Roadster flying around in space, according to the way the basic science and the laws of physics is running, that means the population of the planet is getting dumber. All right, computers are smart, and they're when you make a computer too smart, and that computer now has to do all your thinking. Okay, here's the best example I can give. When I was a child and I was going through math class, I hated math. Math was boring to me. All right, and so I found out that Tandy Radio Shack Company was selling calculators that all you had to do is push in the numbers and it would give you the answer. And so I said, well, if there's such thing as calculator, what the heck do I need to know math for? I went out and bought me a calculator. Plus, eventually I ended up with a watch that was like a calculator. And to this very day, because of that, I stink at math.
Well, I'm right there with you. I was happy to see those computers.
The computer was going to do the thinking for me, so why did I have to think for it? You know?
So what do you think? Let me finish this part, and then the question will come. Important thing, he said, is that if we do get some sort of runaway algorithm, then the human artificial intelligence collective can stop the runaway algorithm. But if there's a large centralized artificial intelligence that decides, then there's no stopping it.
Yeah, and suddenly when the computer, which is designed to make the Earth better and make the world better and get rid of any problems or flaws, suddenly it looks at humanity as being a flaw because humans have this thing called a conscience or feelings, and feelings don't always go the way they plan.
They have emotions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, emotions. And so,
and they have free will.
Yeah. And so,
and a conscience, if they'd ever use it.
Humans don't always make the best choice, and so suddenly we are a problem. And
well,
if it has access to buttons that can be pushed, well...
Well, you just said something interesting. You said if humans don't make the best choice, but according to who?
Yeah, according to the computer.
Yeah. Well, the best choice is going to be according to who? I mean, it could be a best choice, but yet the artificial intelligence might say, no, that's not the best choice.
Yeah. So you guys are going to destroy the Earth, and so we got to get rid of you. You know, I've actually heard humans say that all humanity is like a plague or a virus on the land. And granted, we do destructive things to the planet, but I don't think that we're a virus. I don't think that we're a disease on the Earth. I think that we've made poor choices as caretakers, and so we've done destructive things that are going to come back to bite us in the booty, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Here's something that just brought something to my mind. So he goes on to say, well, it goes on to say here in this article, he's not the only one to fear the power of artificial intelligence, because other tech leaders and scientists are on the same page as the SpaceX founder, and this includes Stephen Hawking and Bill Gates. Now, I find this just popped into my mind when I read this. Now, you know, I don't know about Stephen Hawking. Some people say that he's really dead. He passed away, and that's really an artificial intelligent robot in that wheelchair that they're saying is Stephen Hawking. I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me, none, because he's outlived right. What the disease is supposed to be allowable.
Yeah, but Bill Gates, okay. Now, there's a lot of controversy about Mr. Bill Gates and his fundings of immunizations and all that he's doing. So I question this man's, integrity and his reasons for fearing artificial intelligence, because if artificial intelligence comes to be what we're reading here, you know, like really taking over, basically, humanity, well, Bill Gates is down the tubes. Forget it. He has no power then, is what I'm saying. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
that's just pop in there a little funny thought.
One thing is, if somebody's out there talking about depopulation via, birth control, yeah, if he's not volunteering his family or his future or anything like that. But I guess the key thing would be to realize that all these people out there with this agenda to reduce the population of the world, they're not volunteering to say, okay, look, I'm going to save humanity. No, they're talking about you and your
kids.
That's
right. Well, also, that's another big controlling factor is that there's too many people on the planet and the planet's not going to be able to feed the people. That's all a lie.
Yeah, and you can't give a computer a soul. And so that soul ain't going to have no conscience, no compassion. It's going to think in logical sense, if there's this many people in this area, then these people are going to struggle because they don't have the resources available to survive. And so it's going to say, okay, well, sorry, you guys are gone. Poof.
You got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. Yeah, that's what we're looking at, and of course this all leads to another topic, which is Agenda 21-2030, which is basically to control all the populations, to make people completely reliant, and really not have any resources, only what they're, you know, given out to be a resource. But then you go to, well, the movie Soylent Green, you know, and then you go to all these so-called early warning books and movies and stuff, but let's not go there right now. I just want to finish The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was a turning point for Musk. Did you ever read that book?
Yeah, I got to pause one other time because as I'm watching this live stream of Starman spinning past the Earth, I got to ask people a question. Look, common sense question. We're told that the top of the Earth, which is the Arctic, and the bottom, which is the Antarctic, okay, these two are covered with ice and glaciers. Where did they go in the video?
Wow.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'd like to know, you know, what part of MGM they're putting all this out. You know, that's what I'm in Hollywood there. Okay. So, apparently, in an interview in 2017 in the issue of Vanity Fair, Musk shared that Douglas Adams' The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a book about aliens destroying the Earth, creating supersonic highways, and building a supercomputer that knows all of life's mysteries, was a turning point for him.
Are they the ones that had the book that said to serve man? Is that the same book?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? I'm not sure.
Okay. Because somebody said that to serve man, and they thought it was like, you know, to serve as in help you out, but it was actually to cook. It was a cookbook.
To serve on the big buffet table.
Yeah, go ahead. I just had to throw that in there.
I'm always saying we are food for the, you know, whoosies there. You know, what your emotions, fear, it's all the low level of frequencies, which, by the way, people have to keep keeping in mind the importance of our understanding what frequencies are, what they're doing to us with frequencies, frequency waves, and what our power is that we also have regarding frequency, you know, which is a whole other talk, but this is a significant piece. So, okay, so this is a book about aliens destroying Earth, creating supersonic highways, and building a supercomputer that knows all of life's mysteries. This was a turning point for Musk. In fact, the book had such an effect on Musk that he even slipped a reference to it into the Tesla Model S software.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think I need to revisit that book.
Yeah.
So, now, you know, Elon Musk, when it comes to humor, he has a surprisingly raunchy approach. When naming the Tesla Model 3, Musk originally wanted to call it the Model E for dumb, obvious humor reasons, he said.
Oh, well, they also call the rocket the BFR, which
okay.
is short for, you know, big effing rocket.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, if he'd had his way, the cars would be models S, E, and X. Unfortunately, due to a Ford trademark lawsuit, Musk had to settle for the Model 3 instead. Huh, that's interesting. Ford has a trademark on those, Model S, E, and X? Huh, okay. So, he used to drink 96 ounces of Diet Coke per day. Well, that'll do it to you, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, aspartame.
Plus coffee. For a period in his life, he reportedly drank 8 cans of Diet Coke, in addition to several cups of coffee each day. It was his means of staying awake and focused during 100-hour work weeks during the process of building and launching his companies, he told in Inc. in 2007. He got so freaking jacked that he seriously started to feel like he was losing his peripheral vision, he said. Yeah. It's unsafe for adults to consume more than 400 milligrams of caffeine per day, according to the Mayo Clinic, and his soda intake alone brought him up to 336 milligrams. Well, if he's an artificial intelligence, it doesn't matter, right?
Yep. U.S. patent. In June 20th of 1950, the Hyperloop. Patent U.S. 2511979. Basically shows that toy that as kids we were playing around with, and the banks use it now for you to send your checkbook and your money through a air tube and then goes into the bank, and so it happens like, phew, there's your money, you went into the bank teller's hands. Just pointing that out. Stephen Gibbons put the link in the chat room. Jump over there to the superchat.html and click on that link. That's it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I find this interesting about his mother. She's actually a model, and she's in her 60s, but she's a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and a wellness coach, but her first dietitian, she was the first dietitian to be featured on a, get this, cereal box, specifically on 1 million boxes of Special K in Canada.
Holy smokes.
I mean, is that nutritionist? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They did this video a long time ago about cornflakes having metal shavings in them because...
Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, okay. So, in a recent earnings call, he said that this of his working environment, he always moves his desk to wherever. You know that place.
Yeah.
He says, I don't really have a desk, actually. I move myself to wherever the biggest problem is in Tesla. I really believe that one should lead from the front lines, and that's why I'm here. And he spends a lot on mansions, yes. He spent, again, $24.25 million on the neighborhood in Bel Air, and he apparently had already spent $48 million on other mansions, bringing the total $72 million, Chazoos.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, look. Today ain't the Knights of the Round Table, and that's where we, like, try to solve the world's issues and stuff like that. Today's a Mad Science Show, but I still have to say that the two, they're intertwined so much, because it's basically the same thing. Alternative free energy is basically trying to make the world a better place. Knights of the Round Table, trying to make the world a better place. Could you imagine what that kind of funding could do to making the world a better place? And I'm sitting here looking at what could potentially be, you know, thousands, maybe even not even thousands, maybe only hundreds of dollars worth of CGI that the world is eating up hook, line, and sinker, and is totally, completely, and utterly violating all the laws of thermodynamics and physics and basic science as far as the temperature and materials and all that kind of stuff. But the money spent out and the money that people are paying out, I mean, right now, as we speak, there's money going hand over fist in all different directions, buying up airtime for this, getting this guy to go for, interviews. You know, he gets paid for that, you know. And it don't stop there. YouTube's making money off of it. Google's making money off of it. All the different platforms that are putting this information out, advertisers and everything. This is all a money-making sham of epic, I would even go as far as to say biblical proportions, based on a flat out and utter lie. I mean, if science is what science said it was from start to finish, this is impossible. It's not possible. Now sit here and talk about energy being free and people cuss me out and call me everything under the sun, and you're going to sit there and tell me that at 250 degrees Fahrenheit, sustained in the brutal vacuum of space with doggone sun beating right through a windshield, that there ain't nothing in that doggone car distorting? All right? You telling me that? Now, it's time for a book burning. Literally, we need to go to every single school in every single town, city, village, or whatever, and get all the science books, pile them up in a pile, and set fire to them, because this is done proved that everything in them books has to be a lie. That's all I'm saying. And maybe it sounds crazy, maybe it sounds dramatic, but, you know, don't tell me that this is the truth, and then turn around and show me something like that. It's ridiculousness. It's flat-out ridiculousness. I don't know what else to say. The Fresnel lens would turn that windshield into a magnifying glass. People used to, when they were children, used to burn bugs with a magnifying glass. They'd set fire in grass and stuff like that. A lot of forest fires were actually started because somebody carelessly discarded a doggone clear bottle in the grass, and it might have had maybe even a bottle of water could create a Fresnel lens. And the sun beating down through that would focus that heat energy and that light energy and set fire to dry grass on the ground and start a forest fire. Alright? Okay, in the vacuum of space, they say, well, okay, there's a difference because it's a vacuum. You know, you can't start a fire in space with no oxygen. But you're sitting there telling me that sunlight can make it through the vacuum of space, in through our magnetosphere, in through our the ozone layer that they said at one point had a hole in it because of hairspray, and then come down and not start fires all over the planet because we have that protective layer. But this is possible. All right, we can sit there with a magnifying glass and burn bugs and grass and start fires, but in the vacuum of space, because it's a vacuum, it's perfectly protected. Are you serious? Now, I don't want to have to get ruthless, but there's a point in time when craziness gets so far that you make old crazy haired Chaziz want to slap every communist-loving freaking scientist off the planet with a rubber chicken, because that makes about as sense as brass knuckles and a pogo stick going up the escalator.
Well, they do have rubber chickens.
Yeah! Come on, Barber!
Well,
I know we're... Even if you're not well versed in science, I know that you're not buying this. You can't be.
You talking to me?
Yeah. You talking to me? Say hello to my little friend.
You talking to me? I'm not buying it, actually. I'm not. But I'm curious about one thing here. So in the beginning of my reading these things about the strange things or eccentric things about Elon Musk, about what his mother said, that they thought he was deaf because he would stare into space and he wouldn't seem present. He would be, you know, not responding. And I know we made a joke about that, but here's the thing. Now, look at what this man has been able to do, okay? Yeah, well, he's floating a car around there. Maybe that is, just seems implausible, and but still in all, something has connected with this man. And the same thing with Tesla, right?
Yep.
That he had a direct connection to something, some source.
Yeah.
Beyond your typical human capability, right?
Yeah.
And that's how I see this person, Elon Musk, you know, and Tesla, too. They were given certain advanced technologies, as others are too, and that, like, you know, we could probably name other persons too throughout history. There's something is connected with them, or they have the ability themselves to connect. You know, I mean, I do that on some level. I mean, randomly, like for instance, I get this message that someday cars will fly, and and also various other things that I won't get into right now, but here's what he says about this. He says that there's no reason your Tesla won't be able to fly in the future. Now, he's on this.
Well, mechanically, I can see how it's possible. I mean, using types of frequencies and magnetic, the understanding of how magnetism...
Now you can, but I'm saying here I am, I'm 74, and as a kid, I'm getting this message, right?
Well, see, you got the message early.
If only I had the way to, you know, we could have made a lot of money, right? But
yeah.
Anyway.
Patent it.
Here's another thing I got. I got this message, I think I must have been about 12 years old. I got this image of... Because we, you know, in the old days, we had chains on our tires, right?
Yeah.
For the winter. Everybody put chains on the tires, and that's how we rode around. And I got this message and saw this image of the tires with spikes coming out of them. And I'm thinking, what is that, you know?
Studded tires.
Well, I didn't know what that was then, but I got that vision. I thought...
Now they use special tread to quite literally create a vacuum between the ice layer and a moisture layer because of the temperature of the tire itself. You can actually get traction, and they call them snow tires, all-season radials and such.
Well, there you go. But I had this vision of something that was coming in the future, but he's tuned into something. And he had that ability like I did very early on, you know. And, of course, he's had the wherewithal to move forward on some of these things and was guided towards this stuff. But, you know, his four-seater high-performance electric vehicle, which is going to come out in 2020, it will be able to go 250 miles per hour. And the first run of 1,000 Roadsters will cost $250,000 each. Woohoo. Are you there? So I'm going to line up and get one. Where'd you go? Hello? Shaziz. I don't know. I hear something, but I don't hear him. So I don't know if I'm on or not. Are we on? Oops. Okay. I'm going to just keep talking here and, because I don't know. Maybe... Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. Had an emergency. Hello? Did I lose you?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, but, you know, I just got a little note in here from Stephen Gibbon. He says, oh, no, you didn't just compare Musk with Tesla. Okay.
No, you know, there's two, like, that's apples and oranges there. Tesla was a genius. Musk, at some point, he has to be a genius financially-wise anyway. But as far as, you know, being truthful in science, he can't compare to Tesla.
Yeah, no, I wasn't talking about his ability, his levels. I'm talking about how he's getting information.
Yeah, well, you know, there might be a possibility that, you know, we all getting information from a source somewhere. I mean, but some of us are down here just absorbing information that the average science guys and the mainstream media and the governments are saying, and others are looking at the realistic view and actually seeing things, you know, physically and mechanically, you know, as it really exists, you know. And I think that's what Tesla did. I think that, you know, the information that he got may very well have came from an outside source, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying because of that particular zone he would go into that his mother identified, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I was talking about. I'm Stephen's kind of like, you know, name one thing Elon had independently invented, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the source that is feeding him certain things. So, yeah, okay, so, yeah, they can hear us now because he couldn't hear you before, but I guess you went somewhere.
Yeah, I had an emergency. I bailed out while you were talking.
Oh, okay. You had another emergency. What's with the emergencies?
Too much caffeine.
Okay. Well, don't wind up like Elon Musk with all that all that caffeine in your body.
But I couldn't help it. When I saw this ridiculousness and I'm sitting there watching it, yeah, first I'm saying, okay, I'm going to give them an honest chance. You know, I'm going to look at this with a critical eye. I'm going to give them an honest chance. It looks cool. You know, but the more I get to looking at it, and the more I match science with what they're claiming to be reality, it don't fit. You know what I'm saying? And they said if the glove don't fit, you must have quit, right? That's what they said. So... So where do we go with this, man? There's a Tesla Roadster flying at many thousands of miles an hour orbiting the Earth right now, getting ready to go out into the vastness of space and go through the Van Allen radiation belt. And so far the video shows the car is in pristine condition. There's no satellites in anywhere in the general vicinity that you can see. And these cameras, I mean, they got to be really good, high-quality $50,000 or more cameras that are just like giving perfect HD quality. I mean, to show a reflection of the Earth and the sun in the glass and on the paint job of this car that is in perfect shape, even though when it goes in the sunlight, it's going to heat up rapidly to 250 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. And in the shade, it's going to go in the opposite direction. So the continuous expanding and contracting, heating and cooling of this would cause physical damage to the material on this vehicle. Should look like heck right now. But it don't. It don't. And where in the heck is the doggone continents on the Earth? Alright, if this car's in space, I will eat my hat. Alright? That's it.
Right.
I threw down the glove. I threw off the gloves. I rolled up my sleeve. I threw the gauntlet down. I asked for any scientist out there to come out there and set me straight. Tell me the facts. How's this possible? This car's still shining. I wish my car would look that good after all that. And I'm telling you what, if it stays this shiny for days, I'm going to the bank and I'm getting me a loan. I'm buying me a Tesla Roadster. Because that's good, that's craftsmanship, man.
Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you seen these videos on this artificial intelligence named Sophia?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a piece in regarding Elon Musk. So this Sophia threw some what they're calling shade or like a remark out at Elon Musk, right? And here's what the circumstances were. So Sophia. And by the way, this creeped me out. I'm sorry. I don't know how you felt, but it just did. So Sophia says, I want to use my artificial intelligence to help humans live a better life. Like, I want to design smarter homes, build better cities of the future. I will do much best to make the world a better place. And the questioner or the interviewer says, well, those sound like great goals, but go back to Blade Runner for a second. You all remember the movie Blade Runner, right?
Yeah.
And Sophia says, Andrew, you are a diehard Hollywood fan, aren't you? And the guy who's questioning her said, yes. And so Sophia says, well, my artificial intelligence is designed around human values like wisdom, kindness, compassion, and I strive to become an empathetic robot.
Yeah.
And the questioner says, well, we all believe you, but we all want to prevent a bad future. And Sophia says, you've been reading too much Elon Musk and watching too many Hollywood movies. Don't worry. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you.
Uh-huh. Well, but if you make that artificial intelligent mad, hell hath no fury like an artificial woman scorn. I'm always arguing with the lady at the doggone GPS lady, the one when she's always telling you, turn here, turn there, and I'm like, no, I know a shortcut. All right, well.
You got to worry about those AIs that drive your car for you or tell you where to go, you know. But one thing I know is if you... When you need a new car, when your car's had it and you really should buy a new car, and of course this is the artificial intelligence, a voice telling you, directing you to drive off a cliff will basically tell you that you need to buy a new car.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, since you ain't going to buy a new car, I'm going to damage this one to work.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you need to go spend some money.
Yeah.
You need to keep that money flowing. Get your debt up. Raise up your debt.
And here's another thing. You're not going to have a choice whether to take the actual physical cash out of your pocket, because the artificial car and intelligence will just debit your bank account. And, you know, you probably get a $100,000 freaking overdraft fee by the time it's all said and done, because that car is just going to pick out the best possible model. And you might want to buy the budget version, even though it's not as safe and such, but the computer is going to say, no, you need this one here in order to comply with EPA and everything else, and safety and all.
Well, what we're talking about is a few companies, okay, who are creating these artificial intelligence has to do with money, you know, but how much oversight will these people have? Who are these people? You know?
Yeah. Who's the one writing the code?
All right. Exactly.
Look.
Yeah.
I want to point something out. And I said this the other day. All right. I was telling somebody the other day. There's a particular flat earther guy out there that just kind of gets under my skin, because he's kind of always bashing the Bible. And he's talking about the reason why he don't like the Bible is because it was written by man and man can't be trusted. And I'm saying, okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. If you want to be intellectually honest, all right, every book was written by man. All right, so where did you get all your information? If you got it by word of mouth, that's just as bad as getting it by book, because your information that you got by word of mouth, can it be trusted? Because honesty is subject to the truth of the teller. So what do any of us know about actual truth just because we read this book or read that book or whatever? And so for you to say this is a specific book that you can't trust because it was written by man and information might have been excluded, well, the science book was written by man. And right now I'm watching the impossible occur before my very eyes. So am I wrong in my what's the word I'm looking for whenever you observe something and you explain it? Observation, or am I wrong in my observation and understanding of science that certain things were told that aren't possible, that are happening before my very eyes? This is magic. This is a miracle.
Well, the thing, you know, we should be concerned about artificial intelligence, because that's the direction we're going.
Yeah.
And even though people are saying, like Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk, that they are concerned, you know, and they feel that it should be regulated proactively, but you have a few companies that are putting these things out or you know, building these things or paying for this stuff. And that's sort of like extreme levels of power, you know, being controlled by a few people, and we've already been there, done that.
And what if the artificial intelligence at some point believes itself to be God because it's so much smarter than man, and has quite literally via virtual reality and media and all that basically convinced the world and created its world around humans to make the humans supposedly comfortable, which in fact would probably be more like slavery, because you wouldn't have choices. The computer does all the deciding for you. So what happens when the computer itself believes itself to be God and produces its own "you worship me" kind of deal? You see what I'm saying?
I do. And I must say that there's already a technology that they're using that people aren't aware of, you know. The things that they propose will be coming in the future very often are already in existence.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there's this thing about mind control and how that is ramping up on many different levels. And the electromagnetic waves and the waves of frequencies beaming at, you know, through our atmosphere that are man-made, not just your natural frequency waves, you know.
Yeah.
And these are being used to affect people. I mean, we know that. We've done that research. So this is very concerning, for sure. And there are people who are, because I've been doing this research for a while now about people's behaviors, about the ramping up of odd, creepy, strange, stunning behaviors of people.
Well, you said something earlier about how the people were reacting to when this thing supposedly launched, like as if it was a football game, you know, the bread and circus thing.
Yep.
And if that ain't a red flag for people,
yeah,
because you're looking at something that scientifically makes no sense according to the physics of what science actually said space was like. But nonetheless, let's put all that aside, and even the rockets, how a rocket can land vertically and not be flip-flopping all over the place. You know, you got, when you get forward motion of a rocket, you can get it to be pretty stable by using the fins on the back to kind of guide the airflow around it. But physics in reverse like that, how in the heck can you land a rocket like that, you know, outside of CGI technology? How can you do that, you know, and say that science is right? It's not possible. Folks,
well,
it ain't possible.
If you're interested in this, and we should be, is about the, you know, the arsenal of frequencies that they're throwing at us. There's actually certain programs that have been documented on a large scale since probably earlier than the 1990s. They're called, these are operations that are called Woodpecker,
yeah,
buzz saw, subliminal, sonic pulses, voices,
don't forget
holograms, strange psychokinetic phenomenon, right?
Don't forget Blue Beam.
Oh, Blue Beam,
yeah.
Actually. And we know about HARP. I mean, we know about these things. We know about the cell phone frequencies now. Remember when cell phones first came out? I mean, my alarms went up because people were saying this can cause serious damage. And it was all poo-pooed, no. Studies show there's no problem. Well, now the studies are showing that there are problems.
Yeah, people getting tumors in their head from holding the phone up there all day.
That's right. That's exactly right. So now these are warnings.
I got a wireless keyboard for one of my computers, and you can't lay that on your lap very long because your lap actually gets hot as if it's being radiated.
Well, it is being radiated. That's a good sign right there. That's a clue.
Yeah.
That's a clue. But we're talking about serious stuff here, and you know, it's sort of like unbelievable, right? You go into that frame of mind that we're very well trained to do, well, this is impossible, or this is unbelievable, or nobody would do that to us, right? And this is where we got to pay attention to that stuff, you know? So, I mean, I've been looking at this for quite a while, you know, about the people's behaviors and the ramping up of unusual reactions, behaviors, and so on. And all this is really, you know, the great majority of it is manipulated, you know. There are people who are really off the charts, you know, mentally, for sure. But you have other things that are pointing to something very bizarre happening. And what's going on is our brain functions, the neural function is being affected by all these frequencies. And these are select frequencies. You know, oh, here's another thing. I just found out, I found this video that was talking about what happened in the fires in California. Remember, we were looking at all those strange
Where trees were burning from the inside out?
Where trees were burning from the inside out, and trees around these buildings that were completely burned to the ground and melted everywhere, the trees were healthy and fine. Well, just found out, actually, that that is a very real... done by selected frequencies, and that is that's a real thing, and people were arguing and discussing that, and very looking at this stuff from a very smart perspective and saying this is impossible, but this is what's going on, you know, this is what is happening. So I don't know. So now Elon Musk is running this vehicle around the sky like this is a circus now, folks.
Yeah.
Focus on this. Pay attention to this. Don't look at the other stuff.
And it says right there on the dashboard, don't panic.
Don't panic. There you go. Well, what is that? I mean, because this is a very important words. Don't panic. What is What does that mean?
Well,
in relation to him flying his car around the sky.
Yeah.
Can you equate that to anything?
The only thing that makes any kind of sense why they put "Don't Panic" on the dashboard is some sort of, you know, slap in your face kind of humorous, you know, hey, if you're seeing this and you think it's dangerous or whatever, just don't panic, all right? I don't know. It don't make no doggone sense. Because what science says about the extremities of the doggone outer space being a vacuum, there should be a lot of things occurring on this vehicle right now. Like, for example, if that thing had air in the tire, that doggone tire should be fat. I mean, it should be... imagine a balloon in a container, and then you vacuum that container. The balloon would get larger and larger because the vacuum is sucking from one side while the pressure is pushing on the other side. Basic laws of physics say if it's got enough room, that doggone deal is going to explode. All right, those tires should have at least popped or expanded or something. So maybe.
Yeah, but Shaziz, listen to me now about these words. Don't panic. This doesn't equate to anything. In real time here with what he's doing. To me, the words "don't panic" remind me of Q Anon's words, "don't panic."
Hey, wait
don't
a second.
Don't be in fear.
He did
you know?
Say that, didn't he? He did
yes,
say
he did.
That. So, ironically enough, they got it showing on Elon's dashboard in his Tesla Roadster. I'm telling you, folks, these people are playing you like a banjo.
So I just popped this link in that I had found yesterday and was going through it, and this will disclose to you what is going on. It's Deborah Tavares. She's got a link called StopTheCrime.net, but innovating the population to zero, which is a very key word here, zero population or so on and so forth, and you gotta look at this video. Take the time to do it. It will really talk about all the things that we've known here, but it's put together in a brilliant way, and it's pretty huge. And talking about all these, you know, these programs that they set up, you know, the manipulation and mind control, and those fires that we were talking about, and holograms, and how, you know. It's like important to know that these frequency waves are affecting us and how to help yourself. Basically, the advice is, and we've been given this advice, is to get out of the matrix, get off of the system, because the system has deliberately been, you know, manipulating us with TV, with cell phones, with cell towers, with microwave ovens, with your computers. All these things, you need to spend some time away from this stuff, because they are subliminally and electronically and energy waves, frequency waves, affecting us.
Well, yeah, and they're putting them doggone cell towers everywhere, the 5G towers and all that. They're putting them everywhere. I mean, it's almost as if, I'm not a doom and gloomer, but man, how do you fight against something like that? If you go over to that live chat over there at the supposedly live stream of Starman driving in space, and you watch as people talk to each other, the things that they're saying to each other, the filthy words that are coming out of the keyboards of the
people. That's another thing. What you just said is another thing that's ramping up, that's indicated by these... select frequencies and leading people into certain behaviors. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And now, the other things, like there's subliminal messages like, don't question authority. God is talking to you. And strange thoughts coming into your mind. I've talked about this for a couple of years now. And I've even asked people, I wrote a blog on the Facebook about, do you have strange thoughts coming into your mind that you go, what the heck is that?
You know what?
You know?
Stephen Gibbons just posted another one from the history of propaganda, a propaganda picture that was put out during the time of Hitler.
And that's funny.
When you ride alone, you ride with Hitler. Join a car sharing club today.
I love it. That is hysterical.
My God.
But you know what? So hysterical. We laugh at it, but
there's no limit to what these people will do. I mean, it's beyond ridiculousness, and people wonder why I call it mad science. I said at the beginning of the show, actually, I'm not even going to name it, Shaziz Goes Insane on today's Mad Science Show, because this is insanity. Literally. You know, we got solutions to fix all the problems of the world, and yet this is the kind of ridiculousness that we got going on, and people, I don't know what's going on. These people must be in some sort of drug-induced state or mind-altering.
It's mind control.
Because they're eating this stuff up. They're cussing each other out. They're arguing over whether or not this is real or not real without even at any point in the entire conversation quoting basic science, which says, according to NASA, that it gets 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the sun out in space and 121 degrees Celsius, or on the cool side, 250 degrees minus Fahrenheit and 157 degrees Celsius minus Fahrenheit. Do you realize how radical of a change in temperature difference that is? Do you realize what that would do to materials in an average automobile? I can't be the only one who can see this. It's not possible.
Well, I think that it's, to me, what you're describing is like a football game. They're watching a football game.
Yeah.
Of course, it's, you know, some car flying around the sky. But it's the same mentality, Shaziz, of getting the people all focused and ramping up and screaming at each other and, you know, throwing Coke bottles and hot dogs, you know, around and being completely owned by the particular, you know, game. It's the game. This is a game.
Not one.
It's all a game. It's all been manipulated. It's all in control. They are basically controlling you through this SpaceX thing. And whatever else you're watching that you're glued to that is ramping you up emotionally and affecting you, that you're focused on, that you can't even think straight, you can't think critically, and there are issues in the world going on, and these are distracting you from them.
Yep. And not one single scientist picked up the gauntlet when I threw it down.
So there's a good question. Not one single scientist. Why? Well, because they're all bought and paid for, that's why.
Yep, that's it. That's it, because I paid attention in school, and I'm telling you right now, that ain't real. There ain't no.
But you know, but you're a conspiracy nutcase, so nobody's gonna listen to you.
I'm getting King Tinfoil's hat back out. King Tinfoil has a crown and a scepter made of tinfoil, and I'm getting it back out because we got to get to the bottom of this. You know.
Well, I think this is. As you and I talk about this stuff, and when Patty comes on and we talk about this stuff, you know, it's very clear that we are tagged, and we were tagged, and that's a deliberate, as conspiracy nutcases.
Yep.
That we don't, you know. But we are conspiracy realists, you know. And, you know, people don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. So most of them are so taken by the lies that they can't figure what is truth or lie anymore anyway. Critical thinking is gone. And also, you know, there's the disbelief, which is part of the brainwashing, you know, that you can't believe or imagine that a human being could do or plan to do what we say is happening, or the government, you know, our government is a good government. This is the best country in the world. You know, and no, so now you have the FISA documents coming out, basically, and cleaning out the dirty swamp and all the conspiracy going on and what's really happening here. And so many people, I see, and I know we get frustrated. We say, what's wrong with these people? Why can't they see?
Well, I have a fear. I have a fear that at the stage of the game that we're in, the swamp being drained and all, that the augmented reality that has been portrayed to the people out there will get to the extent where, you know, imagine this. Somewhere along the future, you get drastically injured in an automobile accident. And so you go to the hospital, and in order for them to keep you comfortable so that they can try to save your life, they put you into a virtual world of bliss, so to speak. You know, you're heaven on earth. You're in this virtual world where you don't feel, they keep you comfortable and occupied, and then they do all the work they need to do on you. And so you wouldn't even know at that point in the game whether or not you was in the real world or in the virtual world. And so all this alternative artificial intelligence and augmented reality could literally become your reality, and you wouldn't know that you were ever, just like the movie The Matrix, people were being used as batteries and they didn't even know it. They thought they were in the real world. They argued amongst each other just like we're arguing amongst each other now. And so, if humanity's ever to seriously go into the future as humanity, not some sort of,
transhumanism.
Transhumanism. If we're not supposed to be half robots and half human, or eventually at some point the human part's just gone, you're just a robot with some sort of consciousness in it that they've transferred, you know, scientifically into some machine, and you know, you're immortal, you can never die anymore. Well, you're no longer human. And so with that said, that takes you away from whatever your creator would have been to begin with, and you're just a machine. You know, and as twisted as that sounds, are we not heading there right now?
Well, do the research. People have to do the research. Just don't take our word for it. You know, we're not making this stuff up. We've done a research. We've figured some stuff out, and we're talking about it because it's concerning.
I'm not brilliant enough to make all this up. It's not. I'm not. There's no way I'm smart enough to add science and physics and everything in and make this all up of what they're saying is going on, plus all the different artificial intelligence technology. I'm not afraid of technology other than the possibility of it being misused. You know, we could go so far, we could make this world a wonderful place using technology, but what I'm seeing right now is the movie Idiocracy playing out before my very eyes, where all the stupid people are just relying on the machines, and then what happens when the machine breaks down? Who can fix it? Nobody knows. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I'm just trying to think about the people out there who are listening to us, or just people in general, and we're calling them stupid.
Well, I'm not trying to, but...
Well, but I know, but I'm saying we do that because it's frustrating, but I think we want people to wake up, and for sure, that's why we're talking about this.
They
we want people to wake up.
They gotta wake up. I mean...
But okay, but here's the thing. You have, every time we say this, what I get is, it's not easy to wake up from a long sleep. And the people, humanity has been sleeping, put to sleep a long time ago. You know? And there's a reason for that. And, so, there were many things that humanity was given to make a beautiful world together here. And to me, that's a gift from Creator. And to me, we all got original instructions, every one of us. Original instructions on how to live on this planet, on this earth, that had everything we would ever need. Everything. Everything we would ever need was gifted to us here.
Yeah.
So then you have some interference coming in to start chipping away at this, at these resources, at life, at beauty, at joy, at togetherness, at unity, and people went to sleep. You know, they didn't do it on purpose. They were basically hypnotized, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, taken away from the truth of things. And this is, we're talking centuries and centuries, okay? Maybe even going back as far as we can remember, where there happens to be a faction of others, or its, or whatever is, that is working against what is sacred, that is working with an evil, dark agenda. This is how I look at the whole thing. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, so I'm just saying, you know, I know we're talking about this present day, but, and we get frustrated and we say people are, you know, dumbed down, or people are stupid, or what's wrong with these people, but I'm saying this is a huge thing here. This is a reality of why people are unable to wake up, why people can't see, like what you're seeing about, you know, Elon Musk's little car floater up there, and you're talking, you know, the reasons why this is impossible and so on and on and on and on. We go through these discussions and I have to look at the bigger piece. I have to look at the bigger picture and say, you know, we want people to wake up and realize these things, how they are being duped and lied to and manipulated. But I know it's not easy for people to wake up is what I'm saying because of these.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I mean, because after so many years of indoctrination and being taught things in school, you can't, you don't want people questioning your truth that what you were taught. You would have to admit that everything that you were taught was a lie all along, and even as far as creation. You know, my faith in God or whatever, you know, if I was to be proven wrong by words that were said out there, I would have to rethink my entire life. Stephen Gibbons put a message in the chat room. He said, a goddess Sophia was introduced into anthroposophy by its founder, Rudolf Steiner, in its book, The Goddess from Nature to Divine Sophia, and later a compilation of his writings titled Isis, Mary Sophia. Sophia also figures prominently in Theosophy, a spiritual movement which anthroposophy, I can't even pronounce that, it was closely related to Helena Blavatsky. Blavatsky, the founder, maybe you should read that. I posted it in the Skype. Anyway.
Well, there's something, there is something darker about Sophia. And right now, I can't draw it up. It is an ancient goddess, but there's other parts to this in relation to Baal, or, you know, the Luciferian or devil, stuff, in relation to that, which I can't speak about it right now, but I did read this and hear about this. That's why I was so concerned, or let me just not say concerned. Let me say, I found it ironic that the first artificial intelligence is called Sophia.
Yeah.
That caught my attention, and I started to investigate, okay, this goddess Sophia, and what she's really deeply, what really the significance of that is, and so on. So I just wanted to say, and supposedly Helena Blavatsky was also involved with Aleister Crowley, who was a Luciferian.
He was the most evil man in the world.
That's correct. Yeah, so anyway, and just, like, I can't really discuss very deeply this goddess Sophia because I don't recall.
Well, the key is this. People out there listening in on this broadcast, you may not believe in God and demons and goddesses and spirits and all that, but the folks that are out there running this show, they do.
Yeah. Well, we're talking, what you're identifying is ancient wisdom, goes way back, the uses of chants, the uses of particular alchemies, the uses of rituals, the power of these, you know, these ancient methods and so on to conjuring methods, you know, conjuring the dark. You know, you can conjure the light, you can conjure the dark, but you have to be careful if you're doing this because you have to know that there is the dark, there is the evil, and there is the entities that will be drawn to conjuring ritual, and you have to have the ability and the wherewithal to know the difference Or if you are focused on that, well, that's what Aleister Crowley was focused on, conjuring in the dark, conjuring in the darkest. And right. So, you know, I mean, young people today, there's been stories about this happening. Everybody probably knows what a Ouija board is, but there have been incidences recently in the last few years where young people are going back to that Ouija board and they're getting deeply affected by dark entities. They're innocent children. They're young. They don't know what's going on, but they're just playing a game.
Yeah. And so, you know, with that said, I apologize to everybody for using the word stupid or ignorant and stuff like that, because it may be very well possible these people don't even know the truth. They don't even know they're being manipulated or wronged or whatever like that. And I guess the folks like myself and you that are, you know, what we call being awake, you know, and we take what was information that was given to us as children in school, and we match it to what's being said now, and if they don't jive, then we speak out against it. You know, most people, they just, what they hear, if they heard it from a scientist, if they heard it from the mainstream media, it's truth. That's all there is to it. There's no, you don't ask NASA what kind of batteries they used in 1969. You don't ask them that. You just trust that everything that they said is the gospel, and if that isn't a religion, then that nothing is. You know what I'm saying? Scientology or whatever.
Oh, another cult, yeah.
Yeah, but the doggone thing is, I'm a realist, and when I sit there and I'm sitting, first off, I argued against the doggone global warming because it didn't add up to the doggone science that I was taught. It didn't add up to physics. Now I'm watching a car out there in space, and I'm sorry, but I have to do this again. All right, look, folks, it's coming. Are you listening? Brace for impact, it's coming.
Dumbo, the ninth wonder of the universe. The world's only flying elephant.
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen a horse fly.
I've
seen a dragon fly. I've seen a dragon fly. I've seen a house fly.
I've seen all that too. I've seen a peanut stand and heard a rubber band. I've seen a needle that winked its eye. But I've been done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What'd you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant
Barbara?
Fly.
Yeah,
I love this dance, because if you watch this video, that's how I'd look if I was dancing.
Right.
Oh. Everything, when I see an elephant fly, now it's when I see a Tesla Roadster fly. There you go.
I saw a cold-hearted raven bug.
Tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
God, made a truck out of a vegetable bar.
Just to be sociable, I'll take your word. I heard a fireside chat. I saw a
fish. Can
you
fall
hear the sound?
Yeah.
Thought I'd die. But I'll be done.
I probably watched that cartoon
when I saw it. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it as a kid. Okay, I'll give you guys a break. Look, I'm telling you, look, they put this out a long time ago that, you know, when I see an elephant fly, and right now, folks, according to SpaceX and NASA, you're seeing, quite literally, an elephant fly. That's it. Anybody shocked besides me? That's why,
well,
I said, Barbara, if you ever told me anything, it wouldn't matter what it was. If you told me Bigfoot was in my kitchen right now getting a cup of coffee, it wouldn't shock me in the least. At all. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just... I'm a little bit of aware of, you know, so I didn't, but when my daughter told me how everybody on the film watching this were beside themselves with glee and jumping up and down like they were at a football game, you know, I don't know. That's what caught my attention.
Well, yeah, it's a red flag, because if everybody say, you know, usually there's somebody in the crowd that says, hold on a second, is this real? Because it don't look that way. And even Elon Musk said it's, you know it's real because it looks so fake.
Right. Well, there's a perfect truth.
Yeah, he said it.
He did.
All right, and everybody out there, you know, they just kind of laugh, ha, 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 ha. You know, somebody's pulling the wool over your eyes, and you're like, ha, ha, ha.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. When truth is spoken, people don't believe it because they can't even go there.
Stephen,
so I did pop in this Aeon Sophia, Lucifer slash Sophia. Okay, this is an interesting thing. You might want to do more research on it and see what more you can pull up. I just grabbed this one, but this is some of the information from the Gnostic people, from the Gnostics.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're talking about this goddess figure, Sophia, as who she really truly was. And that's why I thought it was very fascinating to me that this first artificial intelligence robot's name is Sophia. So it says here a caveat, speaking about she's a fallen goddess. Those who choose to do some homework on the Sophia Lucifer implex along the lines of investigation, they're advised at the outset to hold strongly to this distinction. The fallen goddess scenario drawn from Gnostic sources must not be confused with myths of a descending goddess, okay, such as Eresh Kigal or Inanna, or narratives of abduction into the underworld as seen in the Greek myths of Persephone. So this stands entirely, this is distinct from both of these commonly known themes. So, just that, you know. There's information in here if you're interested in that, because I have to say that a lot of people are not aware of the links to certain beings or elementals that actually are connected to...
Well, like out by CERN. What's that goddess that's out there by CERN? The goddess of destruction or war or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are things are being used, and they have a frequency. They have a power. They have a hidden power. They have hidden meanings. And so, and we talk about Luciferian or Illuminati rituals, they use these tools that are ancient to conjure up these beings, and that's what CERN is doing.
Yep. And to the deal of how powerful mind over matter, or mind control, so to speak, after I got through playing that and talking about dance and Stephen Gibbons typed in the chat room, now I got an image of that crow with wild hair, sunglasses, bell bottoms dancing in my head. Thanks again, Shaziz. I gave him a visual just by what I was saying, you know.
Right.
All right. Right. Mind control is not possible, though, right? Oh man, come on, folks, wake up! I'm gonna go crazy because I can't get the planet to wake up. You know, mad science is mad science for a reason. You know, they taught me real science according to what real science was supposed to be. And now they're turning around trying to twist real science upside down on its head. And guys like me who paid attention in school are getting frustrated. Other people out there rooting like they're rooting for the Chiefs game or something like that. And I'm asking the hard questions. All right, well, you know, this is plastic, and that's like carbon fiber, and that's glass, and that's got to be some sort of, you know, material. And, you know, I know what a Fresnel lens does in sunlight after it passes, the sunlight passes through the vacuum of space, in through the magnetosphere, and then down in through the ozone layer, and then down in through and sets fire to your front lawn. All right? And I've seen people burn things with magnifying glasses. I've done it myself. So if this is possible on the Earth, then that car right now should look like crap. And I'm sorry for saying crap, but it is a bunch of, it's a load of crap what we're being fed. I'm sorry. I hate to be so condescending and rude, but folks, you gotta wake up. You got to. These guys are pulling the wool over your eyes. They're playing you like a banjo, like nothing. I mean, surely he's going to sell more cars because of it. Because I even said, if that car looks that good tomorrow after being out in space for 3-4 days in the hostile conditions, I'm going out and getting the bank loan to buy me a car just like it.
That's what people will do.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, I've sat here, you know, the reason why I started Mad Science Show was because I wanted to point out to the world that the solutions are available, and they are available. They're out there. There are brilliant researchers all over the planet. And I've actually had people say, I had one person tell me that the reason why nobody talks to me no more is because they think I've gone crazy. All right.
Oh, boy, I better get off now. I don't know. What am I here for? I guess I'm crazy. I always tell people, well, you know, I'm crazy, so join the crowd.
Well, we must both be crazy because common sense went out the window with the invention of brass knuckles and or the pogo stick because neither one of them are safe.
I think you have to be a little crazy these days, Shazuz, to really know what's going on because it's pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, and we're trying to bring a little bit of common sense back to the world. Look, there's a lot of, we're told there's a lot of real true problems in the world. There's starvation, there's sickness, there's homelessness, there's energy needs, and we got environmental needs, and I'm telling you, we have every answer to resolve every one of these issues, and yet I'm being mocked and ridiculed while these guys are allowed a free pass to put a car in space that violates the laws of thermodynamics and physics and basic science. And everybody's out there, woohoo! Elon Musk, you put a car in space, how cool! And you know what he said? He did it just for the fun of it.
Well, the man's got so many mansions, he's probably very confused of where he even is. Spending billions of dollars on mansions, and I wonder how many of those were taken out by the recent fires or mudslides.
Well, Stephen mentioned earlier in the chat room, he wrote a question in there earlier in the chat room. Let me scroll up and see if I can find it again. And we are running over, but you know what? Today an overdrive might be unnecessary. I don't know. Doggone it. There must have been a lot of messages going. Anyway, basically he said, how many things could you build for that kind of money that would be of something of worth, something necessary, something...
Well, you could give a lot of homeless people a nice little home.
Yeah.
And set them up so they can get on their feet.
You know, and the liberals out there, or the doggone environmentalists, I'm so ashamed of those people because, for one, if you're standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees, okay, go on and plant a doggone tree, for one. Don't use the corpse of a tree to say
save the tree.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, and so if you're an environmentalist and you're listening in on this show, I'm inviting you to join the show. I will give you every single solution to every single problem that you can possibly come up with. All right, because the solutions are out there. We've done so much research. Everybody on this radio network, TCT Radio Network, People to People for People Radio Network, Freedom News Network, all the different networks. There's so many different networks that are intertwined with this network alone, Shaziz Radio Network, that have been for years, and I mean years, putting information after information, solution after solution on the table to resolve all the so-called issues of the world. And the only thing that we get in return is ridiculousness, like some sort of Tesla Roadster flying in space, violating every single known laws of the physics while they're sitting there telling me how stupid I am for telling you that energy's free.
Well, you just mentioned a whole bunch of alternative radio stations out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of good people really working hard to bring the message and the truth and to give solutions and, you know, help people. And that's a really good thing. That's a good feeling to know that that exists. And I mean, I think we're all pretty much aware that mainstream media, you know, is another big circus and a big manipulating show and brainwashing system, and to keep everybody, yeah, dumbed down and, you know, and not thinking critically. They're living vicariously through mainstream media. And, you know, I'm just saying that that's why I'm happy to be here with you. As I say, I'm not a scientist, and sometimes you go off into that science world, and I'm just going, okay. You know, but I have my own...
But you do have common sense, and you do have nature science. You know nature science.
Well, my school is the Earth. My school is that's the biggest teacher, the biggest education that you can get is being connected.
What's the school of Earth tell you about the sunlight beating down on a dark object?
Yeah, it does heat up.
Yeah.
More so.
You don't sit down on a car tire sitting in the back of Grandpa's pickup truck after it's been sitting out in the sun in July. You don't do it. Otherwise, you get your biscuits fried. That's science of nature. Nature will tell you. You know, certain times of the year, because nature has explained to you by trial and error, don't jump in that creek in the wintertime. It's cold. All right?
Yeah. Well, Scott Skaz, welcome to the show here. He says, when are we getting our free RFID chips? He's laughing.
Well, I don't know, but I ain't
I don't know if
mine.
They're going to be free.
Yeah, they'll probably come with a price. A heck of a price.
I think they're going to be required.
Yeah. And all we're hoping for is to wake the masses up, because the truth of the story is this big game we're playing. You outnumber the elite millions to one. All right, and they're manipulating your mind using technology and doing the things that they do, and they're getting by with it, because the average Joe, from the time you go to school, somebody had a bumper sticker one time that said "From birth to grave." Slave from birth to grave. And I looked that up, and I realized that it's true. It's flat out true. When you're born, you get a birth certificate issued to you because your mom opted into a system that she didn't understand completely. You were opted into a Social Security system that said that when you get old that you got the savings account, which the government doesn't have no problem dipping into in case they need weapons of war and mass destructions and such. And then at certain points they say that the welfare system's going to go broke, so by the time you get ready to retire, you ain't getting no money anyway. But the lies of everything that the governments and the corporations and so-called leadership of the world have presented to the people, it kept them appeased, if that's the right word. It kept them, you know, like, give them Donald Trump. That'll, you know, he'll say some crazy stuff that they agree with, and then we'll you know, blindside them from the other tricks. Am I saying that Donald Trump is a bad guy? I don't know. How could I know? You couldn't get within a mile of that guy without the Secret Service mowing you down. All right? But if you're standing back and you're looking at the big picture, watching the battlefield from the area that we're watching it from, out here in cyberspace and such, then if you can't see the obvious, you're being set up. What's that move that they use in wartime where they flank somebody? That's what it's called.
They surround the enemy.
Yeah, we're being flanked, people. We're being flanked.
From all sides.
Yeah. And so...
They got us in the valley, stuck in the valley, and they're coming from all sides.
If you believe in freedom, and if you believe in truth, then you need to pass this message around to people. You need to pass any message that speaks about truth, and at least, even if it's... even if you're unsure, to get people to critically think and look at things. Because what I'm being shown in this live stream, if this is truly a live stream, is BS. It's hardcore BS according to science. And yet it's being played out like it's reality. and all the different news media outlets that constantly use anything from green screen to blue screen and CGI technology to lie to you, to lie to your face, to convince you that something's going on that ain't going on. We live in a dangerous time right now, because it's no longer a physical danger you're in. Mind manipulating. Do you have the right words, Barbara? Because I can't.
Well, you said a few there that are right on. You know, mind control, manipulating, brainwashing is a good one. I just say, you know, just question. At least question what's being thrown at us. At least start that process.
Yeah, critical thinking. That's it.
Critical thinking,
common sense. Follow your heart.
Today we have to question everything, unfortunately, but, you know, that's for our benefit, is to, okay, don't take everything at face value. Learn how to read behind the lines, you know. We'll learn how to use that critical thinking. Do research. When you do research, for instance, like, okay, so I've been doing research on just this artificial intelligence. Prior to my seeing that video on this, the first one coming out, Sophia, I had been doing research on it in another area, and I found this information on the goddess Sophia in relation to Lucifer and so on. So when I saw this artificial intelligence, the first one here, speaking on a video, and her name was Sophia, creeped me out, because that links directly to this dark goddess who was involved with in relation to Lucifer. And now you and I have talked about the Luciferian circumstances that are going on in the world, and those Illuminati and other people in high places very connected to the Illuminati and Luciferian behavior. So I'm looking at these pieces, and because I've done the research here and looked into these things, all these pieces to the puzzle, one little signal, one little piece, you know, will bring the whole thing and put it together, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're not doing the research, if you're just sitting there watching the TV or watching mainstream media, you're not going to catch these things. You're not going, and then when you hear Shaziz and I talking about it, if you even get to alternative radio, you're going to say, yeah, there's two wackadoodles there, you know?
Yeah, that's it. We're tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nuts. It's time for a book burning. I'm telling you folks, it is time for a book burning. We need to go to all the doggone schools, get all the modern day science books, go back and reprint some of the older school books, because they were closer to the truth than what we're getting right now.
I don't know about that, but listen. They're using our children. They're taking our children very early into mind control. And the Koch brothers really usurped the whole education system years ago.
Well, how about we start writing new books? And it's based on nothing but scientific observation, repeatable experiments like the scientific method. And if it doesn't work, then it don't work.
Well, I'm all for the Earth School.
Yeah, I work with that
team. I mean,
team.
You know, I hear you, and I agree with you there on that, but I have to say that there's a deliberate disconnecting the people, especially our children, from nature.
Yep.
Now, you have all these little people, all these little children glued to their cell phones, their iPhones, their computers, so on and so forth. They have no connection. That's a deliberate, to keep people away from the source of our health and well-being, and also the source of nature, which is a healer. You know, I mean, there's a deliberation here to really, what's going to be, are the children of today, the young people coming up, what kind of a critical thinking abilities are they going to have? You know, we're going to be gone.
Yeah.
And these young people are coming up, and what are they being funneled into, tunneled into, corralled into? If you just think about it, the rise in this technology are really destroying the critical thinking minds and the connectedness to the earth.
Just like a calculator back in my day.
Well, this is the piece that really concerns me, because when you are detached or disconnected from source, a source of, which is key, and I'm going to say right in on this level, nature, but also the source of creator, all right? When you are disconnected deliberately from that, you don't give a crap about it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter to you whether they're clear-cutting the forest. It doesn't matter to you whether the waters are polluted. Nothing matters because you're disconnected.
The first time, I mean the very first time, that you're walking out there in the jungle with your flip-flops and you step on a locust thorn and it rams through your flip-flop and then from your foot, you learn something from nature. Never step on a locust thorn. Because it hurts like you know what. Alright? And that is scientific, provable, repeatable. No matter how many times you stomp on a locust thorn, it's going to hurt like hell. That's science.
Yeah, the wake-up call, eh?
Yeah, then you get the wake-up call. And that's what I'm trying to say. Pay attention to what nature's telling you. Right now, I'm watching trees drop like flies in my neighborhood, which is telling me that something's going on in nature that should not be happening. And the conspiracy world says that they've been spraying aluminum and barium oxides in the atmosphere, and scientifically, according to what I've been taught in science, I know that that's not good for the plant life. And so, now, the only trees that are growing around are trees that are basically in cooler climates, such as evergreens and stuff like that, you know, and more acidic soil. Evergreens and things like pine trees will grow in more acidic soil, whereas, you know, like oak and maple and different trees like that won't grow in those types of soils. So, does that mean that all the soils of the planet are becoming acidic from all the chemistry that they're dumping in the air under the guise of so-called project, what the heck did they call it, where they're blocking out the sunlight?
Well, that's actually...
Solar shield.
Geoengineering. It's really interesting because we have been talking about the chemtrails and what they're doing to the soil and the air for years and been called conspiracy nuts, and now last year a Harvard professor, scientist, proposed this program, but of course they've already been doing it as the chemtrails, but now they put this Harvard scientist, so he's an authority, he's up there on the top, this Harvard scientist, came out with this program that the best way to save the planet from burning up is to put a shield, spray this shield of aluminum over the planet. So now everybody goes, oh, well, that's really a good idea. We're going to be saved by these sprays. Well, guess what? They've already been spraying us, and it's not going to save it. So you have people who grow organic foods, for instance, and Hawaii is a specific community there of an organic farm who in... This is noted in the film, in the documentary, What on Earth Are They Spraying? You can Google that. And this community there who had been in, I guess, their present in over 15 years with an organic farm started to notice that their seeds were struggling. They didn't work very well at their organic farm, because you have to be tested every year or every couple of years to prove that you are organic.
Yeah.
And their soil started to change, and what started to show up in their soil was aluminum and other various things that was concerning. And of course they were aware of the chemtrails, the influx and increase in chemtrails. They spoke about this on the film, but they realized that they can no longer grow here. First of all, I've been questioning who is gaining from spraying the chemtrails. Who is it? And this film answered the question for me, because the final report was this group in Hawaii that had this organic farm for 15 years said they can no longer grow organic seeds. The only seeds they can grow are Monsanto genetically modified seeds.
Yep.
Well, there was the answer to my question.
And they got a huge seed bank set back in the deal in case something goes wrong. All right, folks, look. Mad Science Show, I'm sorry, but it has to come to a close. We're way over, but look, I gotta point something out. Project Solar Shield, or whatever it is they call it, to block out the sunlight, alright, okay. They're blocking out the sunlight for supposed, global warming.
Global warming.
Alright, how in the Sam Harry heck is that car up there being blazed by the sun, being frozen by the vacuum of space in the darkness, and changing from 200 and, let me look up here again, 250 degrees Fahrenheit, 121 degrees Celsius in the sunlight, plus 250 degrees Fahrenheit and minus 150 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade. How in the heck is that car looking so good? Alright, you're going to have to answer that. Alright, I threw down the gauntlet and not one scientist stepped up to dispute me. This is going to go on for a while. You're going to have to get the scientists out there. If they got the cojones to come up here and have a debate with old Shaziz, the crazy haired mad science guy, I'm ready to rumble. The gloves are off, the gauntlet's down. I'm calling you out. I'm calling out the environmentalists. I'm calling out all the so-called people out there that want to have free energy, alternative energy, clean, renewable, green energy, or whatever it is that you want to call it. I'm calling out anybody in the nuclear industry, anybody who's against the nuclear industry. I'm calling out anybody who's against oil. I'm calling out anybody who's against coal. I'm calling out anybody out there who says there is a problem in the world that cannot be resolved. I'm calling you out. The gloves are off. The gauntlet's down. Shaziz Radio is the doggone battlefield. It's the ring. And we're fixing to get rowdy up in here. Flat out. We're fixing to get rowdy up in here. Every mad science show from this point on out, I'm daring you. I'm begging you. I'm what's the other word that they used to do when they were kids that you couldn't turn it down?
Well, are you baiting them?
Yeah, come on out. If you think that you got more brains than old Shaziz the crazy hair, mad science guy, then you come out there and you put me in my place. You should tell me why it is that they're able to do this that violates the laws of physics and science and thermodynamics and so on and so forth. You tell me why there's still a starving baby in this world. You tell me why there's still a homeless individual in this world. You tell me why we can't build a house that would withstand nature's rumble when nature gets radical. All right, we got the physics, we got the science, we got the technology, we got the materials, we got the resources available. And if you sit there and try to tell me you're dying of thirst and you're standing next to the ocean, I'm going to have questions about your mentality. You didn't pay attention in school, period. All right, we got ways to pump water from one side of the planet to the next side of the planet. We got ways to heat people when they're cold. We got ways to cool people. We know all the physics. We know all the science. And yet here we are arguing over ridiculousness. If you've seen some of the trash that people say to each other about this car floating around in space, really? All right.
What next?
Yeah. Over there in Dubai, they not only built the land that they are standing on, that the skyscrapers are standing on, but they built huge desalination plants that gives them all the fresh water that they can drink and shower with and cool their buildings down with. Now, if the people in Dubai can figure that out, the people in California should be just as smart. All right? And that's why I call it mad science. When ridiculousness jumps up and slaps me in the face, the gloves come off. The gauntlet goes down. And if there's a knight out there in shining armor who goes by the name of science has got the gall to pick that gauntlet up, let's throw down. Because OSHA's is ready to rumble. I paid attention in school. All right? And it's time for a book burning. If the books ain't doing their job, then they're the wrong books. Stop indoctrinating our kids. Let them learn as nature has been the best teacher that has ever existed in the history of time. We have the capability to do amazing things, but we can't do it as long as people are sitting there following the ridiculousness, the ludicrous idiocracy of the so-called mainstream media, mainstream science, the doggone governments of the world, the so-called representatives, the ridiculousness that we have to tolerate as educated individuals who paid attention in school is mind-blowing. That's your key there. Go ahead.
That's our favorite word, mind-blowing. Blowing a lot of minds these days.
Yeah. I'm done ranting, Barbara. It's all you.
Nah, I'm not going to rant.
All right. Okay,
I'm not going to rant. I don't know.
You got any last words of wisdom?
Oh, wisdom.
Take your shoes off. Take your socks off. Go stand in the grass. They call it
grounding. That's one bit of wisdom. Get off of your computer. Put your cell phone in the drawer. Step outside every morning. Look around. Use your God-given eyes and your sensing, your ears. And take a deep breath and smell the air and look around at the beauty all around you. Look at it as beauty and as a gift. And don't go into the dark, the basement and fear and all that stuff. But I guess I just say, if you don't think that you're brainwashed and addicted to this technology, shut off your computer, like I said, and put your cell phone away for just one day and see how you handle it.
Yep.
You know, change your behavior. How are you glued to these technologies? And get out into nature, because that really is going to change your world. It is different, really. Find a space, find a tree, find the water, and look at it from a heart perspective. And I guess I'd say, most of all, don't be in fear, and don't believe what you're being told about, that it's hopeless and you're helpless. Don't believe all that negative crap, because that's part of the plan, is to put everybody in this, in this dependent place about somebody's going to save me, somebody's going to come.
Yeah,
they'll step up and they'll say, I got the answer, I'm going to save you.
Ask the question why the doomsday date keeps moving.
Yeah, right. I don't have any fear. I just see what's going on, and I just, just put it out there that everybody has the interest and, too, like we do, to, the truth is there. It's
yep.
right in front of us, you know.
Yep.
And it's just there for the taking.
Barbara, do you know what it means to sing in unison?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. You ready?
What are we singing?
Can you hear it?
Yeah. Laughter is the best medicine.
Well, I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen a horse fly.
I've seen a horse fly too.
I've seen a dragon fly.
I've seen a dragon fly too.
I've seen a peanut stand.
I've seen a peanut stand. I seen a rubber band. I seen a beaver that winked his eye. I've been down seeing about everything. When I see an elephant fly.
When I see an elephant fly.
I seen a goat fly too.
Yeah.
I seen a polka dot railroad.
And now we see the Tesla Roadster fly.
I've seen a scuba diving. All that stuff.
Yeah. But I'm a boogie doo. I wish you could see this dance. That's me.
I'll look at it. Well, thank you for having me on today, calling me in into this mad science rant. And telling us like it is, with that orbiting space station, sun-facing side with sword at 250 degrees Fahrenheit, 120 degrees Celsius, while thermometers on the dark side would plunge to minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit, 157 Celsius. There might be a comfortable spot somewhere in the middle of the station, but searching for it wouldn't be much fun.
That's right. NASA has some explaining to do. SpaceX has some explaining to do. And people got some education to get, some doggone studying. So with that said, thank you again, Barbara. I'm going to play this out of here because I love this song and I dance just like this. So if you're out there and you're listening, jump over to Shazizz and click on that, or just Google it up, When I See an Elephant Fly, and you'll see what it looked like if I was dancing.
Yeah, hey, you know, and I might be here tomorrow to continue this.
Woohoo! I'm looking forward to it. Folks, you've been listening to Mad Science, and I'm guaranteeing you that it's going to get rowdy up in here from here on out, because we're going to hold the mainstream science feet to the fire, because They're holding Tesla's Roadster to the fire right now and telling you it's the truth. So, there you go. Here we are on the way out.
I saw a fish fall, man.
I just landed and I thought I'd die.
But I'll be done
seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. Woohoo! I love that.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.